Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. This video is going viral, and it shows Justin Trudeau announce a new legislation in Canada that will freeze importing, buying, or selling handguns, effectively banning them, but all but banning them. Oh, if you have one, fine, but you can't get a new one, you can't bring a new one in, you can't make it, you can't sell it, you can't buy it. That's it. It is one of the most shocking moves I've seen. Now, we're not Canada. We're the United States. But the conversation is certainly happening here in the U.S., where we've got people outright, prominent liberal personalities saying, ban all guns. And then other liberals are saying, like, nobody wants to ban all the guns. And I'm like, did you listen to what they just said? Joe Biden came out and said no one should have a 9mm. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's like a Glock. It's the handgun that cops use. It's extremely common. It's probably one of the most common handgun rounds. And it's small. And he called it high caliber. And it'll blow out your lung. Nobody should have it.
What? Well,
here we go.
This, yeah, this if someone shoots you in the lung with a bullet, it's going to destroy your lung. Like, what is it?
But blow it out of your body?
Oh, yeah, that's what he would say. That. Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah, maybe some
weapons expert Joe Biden. You let out two blasts. Yeah, he said to his wife.
So we'll talk about that. We've got a kid in Florida, 10 years old, was arrested for making a joke to his friend about buying rifles. And they published the kid's name and face, which is kind of shocking.
What?
We've got inflation is obviously the huge issue. So they can try and talk about guns all day and night. It's not really having a big impact. And I think we're going to have to talk about a couple things. We got Paramount Plus sponsoring a drag event where a child is dancing on stage for money from the audience. And then we've got the Ethan Klein story where last week he called for a terror attack against the NRA convention before quickly walking it back and telling people not to do it. He then went on to tell people to commit other acts of violence and then had to walk that back. And I don't even know what we're allowed to explain because YouTube might, like, explaining what he said to do. I don't know if we can do that. So we'll talk about all that. And I just want to shout out Matt Walsh because I got an advanced screener of What is a Woman? It was so good. It was absolutely incredible. They did an amazing job editing that documentary. So this is not like a paid spot or anything. I got to watch it and I was really impressed. I thought it was really good. It was shocking. It was funny. And they're putting that out on June 1st. So just as an aside, I want to talk about it so bad, but I can't because it's not out yet. Anyway, we're going to talk about related things though. Joining us, we have a couple of journalists. We have Cheryl Atkinson.
Hello. Voice this time.
That's Yay! Right. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm an independent journalist, formerly of CNN, CBS, PBS, you name it, local news, kind of on my own with a Sunday TV show we feed to 43 million households every Sunday now on various affiliates around the country.
Awesome.
Right on. Reformed mainstream journalist.
I'm still the same. It's everybody else changed.
Yeah. I agree. We also have Carrie Sheffield.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back. Thanks for having me. I love that today's Memorial Day, and I'm by the flag. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you to all our veterans and the men. And I want to say, I was talking about this with Lydia earlier, that real masculinity is not toxic. And it was real men who stormed the beaches and saved us in World War II. And we owe them all a debt of gratitude. And I work for Independent Women's Forum. We're a group that loves men, a women's group that loves men. Can't say that. And we're working on some issues, which I'll get into, to preserve women's rights.
What is a man?
An adult male.
Male, yeah.
Well, all right then.
It's not that complicated.
Simple definition. There you go. My name is Seamus Coughlin. I have been absent for about a week. I'm back. I apologize for leaving. I hope you can all accept that apology and welcome me back into your hearts because I've got some good news.
They said no.
Okay. Well, okay.
No,
no leaving.
Too bad. I'm imposing myself upon this family. Very good news. We just launched freedomtunes.com. We officially have a website up. The public videos are still being hosted from YouTube, but we're working on moving that over. And we have a members-only section where for $5 a month, you will get one new cartoon each week that the public doesn't get, only donors get. You will also get two behind-the-scenes videos, and you will be supporting the show without needing to use Patreon or some other platform controlled by big tech. And there's a like five cartoons up there already and a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff if you guys want to go check that out, including Tim and I doing some improv. Or actually, that's going to be up in 2 days.
Which one was that? Weird.
The one where we like basically came up with, I gave you
the really
rough
offensive
script.
One.
Well,
is that improper?
I wouldn't go that far. When I sent Tim a rough script for the Fauci cartoon we did with the voicemails, and we improvised a bunch of it. And it's really funny. That's going to be up in a couple days.
We improvised Fauci as a casting director in Los Angeles, but Seamus said it
no,
was too far.
I did not. Yes, no,
yeah,
I
too far.
I didn't go with that one.
Yeah, no. Interesting.
But we did go with Fauci blowing up the voicemail at the mainstream media.
That was funny too, though.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
And I am also here in the corner with these two lovely ladies. They're excited to hear what they have to say. Excited to hear about this women's bill that they're coming up with over at the Independent Women's Forum, and hopefully we can get into that this evening.
Absolutely. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com, become a member. If you would like to support our work as a member, you'll get access to exclusive segments from the Timcast IRL podcast. Those go up Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. We will have one for you tonight, and you'll also be supporting all of our journalists who are working on news around the clock, and you'll be supporting our infrastructure as we seek to get away from big tech in Silicon Valley, and we have more conversations, more developments happening behind the scenes. Of course, I love to have those announcements, but we gotta keep that stuff under wraps until everything gets done. So until then, support us if you'd like. Smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and now let's read that first story. Probably one of the most shocking stories I've seen in a long time. I couldn't believe it when I saw this video. Trudeau announces national plan to freeze importing, buying, or selling handguns. Now, what really freaked me out about this is the way that he actually reads it. Let me see if I'm going to play this video for you guys. Listen
We're
to this.
We're introducing legislation to implement
a Can we turn
national
that up?
Freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns.
I think that's enough. I don't want to listen anymore to that man.
Yeah, really.
But the whispery, feathery way he's talking, we're capping handgun market. He sounds like a Bond villain. This is really creepy stuff. Seeing all these people post online about banning guns outright, then they come out and they say, nobody's trying to ban your guns. They're literally trying to ban your guns. And I think the important context here is that I think we've seen from history what happens every single time guns get banned.
Well, I don't understand, yes, what one has to do with the other. I'm certainly interested in a rational discussion about what needs to be done after these tragedies. I think a lot of people are. But to jump ahead to something like, what does this have to do with Canada and banning guns? What does the tragedy in Texas have to do with that?
Well, I don't think it does. I think we're just seeing the scale at which this ideology wants to go. So in the United States, they know they can't come out and say ban all the guns because nobody wants that. In the United States, they know they can't say that. In Canada, they can just do it. I mean,
do they want it in Canada? Is it different there?
I can't speak for Canadians.
He got a lot of applause in the room.
He introduced the bill. So we'll see what happens with the lawmakers. But, I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, but it's still nothing new under the sun. I mean, we've seen this from other regimes. And it is fascism when the government wants to take control of the firearms and take them away from the people. And what I find hypocritical is people who were cheering, you know, the Ukrainians all arming themselves. And just saying this is a great thing, you know, good for them for arming themselves. You know, the hypocrisy.
They're posting videos of child soldiers in Ukraine praising them. And I'm just like, man, this got dark real quick.
Wow.
I mean, isn't Ukraine the exact reason why some people here say we should not be disarmed? The very thing that's happening to the Ukrainians, it could be argued, which is they taught right before the invasion of Russia, they were actually training the local citizens in how to use you know, their weapons in combat that they already had.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes the case for the opposite of what they're arguing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and not just Ukraine. The rioting that happened for months on end in this country that was praised by the left wing. They sit there and tell us that rioting is an acceptable response when politics doesn't go their way, basically. And then they turn around and tell you, what, a couple weeks to months later, oh, you have no reason to own a firearm.
There was during the George Floyd riots, there was a guy in New York who called 911 because people were breaking into his apartment building and fighting. And he said, I need help. The dispatcher said, sir, the
let me send you a therapist.
They said, the city is under attack. What would you have us do?
Yeah.
Good luck. I mean, these people vote for this stuff. Or they ignore it and they let it happen. And then when danger comes a knocking, you ain't got no one to count on. So we saw, here's the fascinating thing about all of the gun control stuff, is that there are people currently arguing for gun control when we just saw the police in the Uvalde incident not go in,
mm-hmm.
but use their authority to stop the parents from going in who were armed.
Disgusting. So these are,
which is what gun control is, by the way, allowing the criminals to have guns, but preventing people who want to protect themselves and their families from having guns.
Yeah.
And so another take I saw from a number of lefties was, this proves that the AR-15 is too dangerous because he had one and so the police were too afraid to stop him. Firstly, many of those officers had ARs. But secondly, if the AR-15 is too dangerous and terrifying for a police officer to go up against, who's going to confiscate them? How are you going to ban them?
That's a great question.
Well, that's the problem again with the Canadian proposal. You're taking care of something that's not happened yet. You're not taking care of the stuff that they're complaining about now, which is the current ownership of guns there. Can't do anything about that.
You know what, though? Like, watching these people, these liberals, try and ban guns, because I always say this, like, the leftists want guns. Karl Marx said to keep guns, and the leftists typically want them. The funny thing about it is that they're so ignorant of guns, gun policy, gun mechanics, that they're actually losing. Now, they win some things, like Maryland has banned the M1A, and it's like, for what reason? What does that accomplish? It's ridiculous. But 36 states have permitless open carry. 25 states have constitutional carry.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is soon to be the 26th state with constitutional carry. So while the liberals are screaming banning assault weapons, they can't define what assault weapon is, so nothing happens. And then on the right, they're enacting constitutional carry at the state level. And so now you have 36 states, permitless open carry. I mean, that's kind of crazy. We used to, if you look in the 80s, there was no concealed carry. Now, almost every single state has to allow concealed carry. And 25 are constitutional, meaning you can just, if you live in the state, you don't need a permit at all. You can conceal if you want. So they're losing. And no matter how many times we scream that you're ignorant of the laws, they don't pay attention. So let them ban the ridiculous nonsense and lose.
So here's what's sick about it also. When you're talking about the Soros-funded prosecutors who are going and picking and choosing which laws they want to enforce. So, you know, in Los Angeles or New York or St. Louis, you could theoretically have, one of their prosecutors choose to enforce these gun laws, but then let a rapist walk free because we need restorative justice. And that's disgusting. You know, throwing the book at things that, whatever political Marxist agenda you have.
And then let's talk about what really happens behind the scenes, because I'm really big on the notion that I've had so many Democrats and Republicans confess that what they do on Capitol Hill, they often agree on behind the scenes, but just not in front of everybody. And when I broke the Fast and Furious scandal about the government, in essence, guns to Mexico illegally before they admitted they were doing that, initially at CBS, it was a Democrat leader of a committee on the Senate side that contacted me that wanted to follow up on that story, as sometimes they do when they sense there's a big story coming. And Republicans also called me, and I shared public information that I had on the story, happy to make the story, get more information. They can issue subpoenas and interview people that I can't get on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats quickly bowed out, and it was clear, it confused me at the time, but in retrospect, a decision had been made, and a staffer actually told me, a Democrat staffer in the Senate, that this was not a good issue for them because they couldn't figure out how it played with the gun control crowd and the gun control issue. And that they had a lot of constituents that support guns, and I said, aren't some issues just, this to me wasn't a gun control issue. This was the government corruption and all kinds of stuff. I said, aren't some issues bigger than that debate?
But it was also covering for Obama too. That was part of it too.
Well, but the staffer's answer was, You'd like to think so. When I said, aren't some issues bigger than that, than mm-hmm. politics?
So break down the Fast and the Furious scandal for those that aren't familiar.
Well, this was the government got caught through a whistleblower with ATF. I think it was unprecedented that a sitting federal agent came forward and spoke to me on camera about it. They had been knowingly selling guns, putting them in the hands of the Mexican drug cartels. And it was misreported and is still frequently misreported today that there was sort of a sting operation, that they were trying to track the guns to the bad cartel guys and lost track of them. They didn't attempt to track most of the guns. That was the problem. And they were, in essence, arming the Sinaloa cartel down in Mexico, which isn't really a stretch to the imagination looking back, that we often take sides when there are warring factions in countries, and we were choosing the Sinaloa cartel, apparently, over the Zeta cartel, which were affiliated with terrorists and we perceived as worse. But regardless, the government was using this issue of guns showing up in Mexico, not telling anybody we were moving them there, and saying, look, we need gun control here in the United States because we're selling guns and they're ending up in Mexico, knowing all along that they were putting them there.
And this was Obama.
Yeah, under Obama. And, you know, a lot those guns killed a lot of people, including a Border Patrol agent. That's why an agent stepped forward, because he had said, and some of the gun shops that knew this was happening, that ATF was allowing it to happen, were saying, this is going to come back and shoot a federal agent. Someone's going to get killed with one of these guns, and quite a few people got killed with those guns.
So to recap, they would rather arm Mexican cartels who will kill U.S. ATF agents while take away the guns of law-abiding Americans.
Mm-hmm. They'd rather arm the Taliban.
Yeah.
They'd rather arm the Mujahideen, right? They'd rather arm
ISIS. $8
billion
of equipment?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our government has this very interesting habit of funding and arming groups that end up killing Americans.
Sus.
How did you find out it was a whistleblower who came forward?
To this day, I don't know who tipped me off. I got a one-paragraph tip in the mail, a letter that said, Senator Grassley is looking into this, and it briefly described something that sounded plausible, but so many of my stories start out that way. And I called Senator Grassley's office. I knew he had a whistleblower. And Grassley's office at the time would not cooperate with me for various reasons. And I identified the whistleblower. His girlfriend at the time called me, because I did sort of a generic story with what I knew, because that will stir the pot and bring out other sources sometimes. She called me out of the blue, and I wrote down the number it came in on at CBS. And she said, my boyfriend is a source on this, and he may want to talk to you, but not today. And he never called back. She said he might call in the next day or two. And I'd written down the number, and I called back 2 days later when I really needed that next story and knew there was something serious going on. And I said, I think I know who he is. And I had done enough poking around of who the teams were that were working on these issues in Arizona and so on. And he got on the phone with me, and I said, I know you're probably John Dotson. And he said, whoa, you know, and it was. And it took a lot of doing to convince him to go on camera as a sitting federal agent. He's been made to pay ever since. Now, they didn't fire him because members of Congress stepped in, primarily Grassley's office, every time he got threatened. But he's been held out as a dog when he should be the hero that everybody emulates to blow the whistle when bad stuff and murder, you know, may be happening as a result of things the government has done, but instead he's been treated just horribly, and that's the lesson that was sent out to other federal agents that might blow the whistle.
A good journalist should be a conspiracy theorist to a certain degree.
You have to be, because you learn that, for me anyway, most of what I hear will not turn out to be true, and I try to disprove it on its face. So when I hear that the Fast and Furious tips, I start going about trying to disprove the story, and when I can't, then I start seeing if I can prove it. So you know, but you do have to believe. My funny story is, my husband's former law enforcement. He's a lawyer, and I would come home and tell him about a tip I got or a story I'm working on over the years, and he would always go, that's just crazy. That can't be true. And he said that about Fast and Furious. And you know, we always say that, and then sometimes they are, you know.
Well, what I think is also very upsetting is the weapons flowing from the other direction. So a lot of the illegal firearms coming up from Mexico, but because the left doesn't want to shut down our border, those are coming and circulating in our inner cities, especially, you know, for you know, white liberals who say they care about our inner cities and, you know, violence for Black Americans in predominantly minority neighborhoods. But it's like, but they will not close down the border, you know, and to me that's, that's white supremacy, right? You don't care about black lives. When black lives are being killed by illegal firearms from Mexico, where are the protests? I never hear about this.
I don't think it should be shocking to anybody. The people who advocate for slowing population growth are in favor of things that inhibit population growth. They're in favor of children being sterilized, they're in favor of abortion, and they're in favor of destroying economies, which stagnate growth.
Well, as you know, again, as a journalist, you like to poo-poo stuff, and me in the early part of my career in particular, and then so many of the things turn out to be true, and I think of something somebody tweeted not long ago that became my favorite tweet, which said, I have to find some new conspiracy theories because all my old ones came true.
That's a good one.
Yeah. No, it's repeatedly happened with respect to, I mean, many things surrounding COVID-19. The lab leak hypothesis is one I bring up pretty frequently, but it's also insane that it was so straightforward and clear as an explanation that it leaked from a laboratory because the disease was first discovered near that laboratory, near a virology institute. And they're like, no, it came from a bat. And you're actually
a thousand miles away.
A thousand miles away, and you're the crazy one if you don't believe that.
Gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Here's what Trudeau said. He said, other than using firearms for sport shooting and for hunting, there is no reason anyone in Canada should need guns in their everyday lives.
Well,
that's amazing.
What's the Canadian Constitution say about guns, if anything?
I don't think it does.
Not enough.
Yeah, probably nothing. But, you know, Canada, man, oof. You know, that's they vote for it. Mm. I think we're lucky in a lot of ways that Canada is doing what they're doing, so that we can see, we get to watch all the stuff that's going on in that country.
Well, I'm just excited to see what the truckers are going to do next.
I don't know. We'll see if this even makes it through because it is just a bill. But
I thought his country was just taken over by a bunch of like supposedly fascist truckers who were like honking their horns in the name of white supremacy or something. And he's like, there's no reason anyone would need to protect themselves in this country.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a great
both
point.
Of those things don't fit together.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's because he knows that the truckers were not actually dangerous with respect to like the physical health and safety of his citizens the way they wanted to make it sound. They were just dangerous to the social order he was seeking to establish.
I can think
so is owning a firearm.
You know, I want to bring up the story about Ethan Klein.
Oh, yeah.
Ethan Klein is a podcaster. He's particularly prominent, and he recently called for a terror attack against the NRA. And it's funny. Ethan Klein has been calling for, you know, gun restrictions, gun control, but he's just, on his own podcast, exemplified exactly why people probably need guns for self-defense. On his show last week, YouTuber Ethan Klein calls for bombing of NRA conference. Klein prefaced his calls for violence by promoting sales of his new shirts, which read "End Gun Violence." So he immediately walks it back. I don't want to play it because I think YouTube doesn't allow this stuff, even in this context. There's a few things I want to point out about this. Allies, you know, liberals in the media are saying Ethan Klein was joking about doing it. His wife says, "I feel hopeless. Like there's nothing we can do." I'm paraphrasing. Then he says, "Does anyone know what's going on at that NRA conference?" Calls for extreme violence against it. His wife then says, mm-hmm. And that's what is what really got me. I'm like, yo, he just said told your audience of millions of people to commit a terror attack. And you were just like, mm-hmm. No. His producer apparently said something. And then he immediately walks it back like, okay, no. Don't do that. Apparently during the show as well, he told people to fire guns into the air.
What?
And then when he was also told, like, no, don't do that, the bolts come back down, he said, okay, well, blanks. Just fire blanks. He called for sticking a piece of wood into the Texas governor's wheelchair to cause him physical injury, I guess. The video ends up getting taken down. He's been suspended from YouTube for a week. And his immediate reaction was to say, you know, he doesn't believe in violence, but Republicans are the party of dead children, and that now they're harassing him and sending him death threats, and they're anti-Semites. So it's mind-numbing, you know, that this is the current state of politics. I genuinely, I wonder why it is people would be entertained or, like, that they would like that idea. I don't know who would watch a show like that and be like, yes, that's a good thing, and I will defend that.
There's a lot of people, apparently. You know, right. Isn't this the story of the past 6 years? The one side telling the other what they shouldn't do, but at the same time advocating for much the same themselves. It just doesn't make a lot of sense, but there's an audience for it, apparently.
Well, Kathy Griffin with the Trump head, severed head. Yeah. Madonna saying she wants to blow up the White House. Snoop Dogg shooting.
Covington kids wood chipper.
People like this can make threats towards anyone whose political views are unpopular, and that's considered completely socially acceptable, which is kind of one of the reasons you need to arm yourself.
Well, right. So my response now is, if anyone ever says, why would anyone in this country need a gun? I would say, because a popular liberal YouTuber called for a terror attack on a convention, because a guy who worked for Disney called for throwing children into a wood chipper, because a comedian who does CNN's New Year's showed herself a mock holding up the severed head of the president. You know, I can go on, but as long as they want to say stuff like that, I'm going to exercise my right to keep and bear arms. Look, we've gotten death threats. We've gotten swatted 8 or so times. We've had the bomb squad come out here. Yeah, these people are not doing themselves any justice by saying there's no reason to have guns when they are, you know, advocating for, calling for violence. And then you see the George Floyd riots. And then as I'll say that, I'll be like, well, why would people need guns? Because in 2020, we saw the worst race riots we've seen in the past 50 years with over $2 billion in tract damage. Probably more damage than that, but the insurance companies only paid up to that much. You saw around 26 to 30 or so dead people from those riots. So I kind of think the left has absolutely done everything in their power to make sure we truly understand why we need guns.
Well, yeah, they call for insurrection and threaten to riot every single time something doesn't go their way.
But we remember what happened also during the riots. When the police were called, they wouldn't go into some areas. You were left to your own devices. Mm-hmm. There were business owners that thought, all I want to do is kind of guard my storefront and I'll call the police if there's an attack. And they did so. And the police couldn't or wouldn't come in there. So, yeah, that and seemed then, to prove the point.
And then you have David Dorn, who was murdered trying to protect, you know, he was a retired cop and tried to protect his friend's pawn shop during those riots. And he was murdered, you know, so... And I think what's also upsetting is the exact opposite with Trump and January 6th and in his language. It was not even remotely anything like what this Klein guy is saying. He was saying very normal things that politicians say when they're upset about elections and using the same sort of language. And then he also said, I think it was up to, you know, at least 10,000 National Guard troops I want there. And it was Nancy Pelosi who turned them down. So everything is, twisted exactly the opposite.
You know what I was thinking when I was seeing the story about Ethan and H3 Podcast is that he got started by doing edgy comedy on Reddit and YouTube. No political background, not well-versed in politics. But because politics has become pop culture, he's adopted politics. So now he's getting more political because this is what people care about. I mean, the market dictates. For me, it's kind of the other direction. I started with political activism, working at nonprofits, and then moved into media. So I think for me, it's like I come from a place where I've lived it, I've experienced it, I've been reading about it, I've been actually advocating for policy back, you know, when I used to do the nonprofit stuff. And now here I'm in media talking about all this, and there's a large conversation. Ethan Klein's podcast has comparable viewership to our podcast. And so he's got millions of followers who watch this, but they're getting a pop culture perspective on political issues with limited knowledge and very short relative knowledge. So, you know, we've had some of these leftists on the show. They're like, I was too young during Joe Biden. I don't remember Obama. I was 12. You know, it's like 22 now. I have no idea what happened. And so, you know, for many of us, especially the, you know, people who watch in the key demo, we remember what it was like under Obama, under Biden. We remember the killing of the Americans without charge or trial, the killing of American children, the drone strikes on civilians. We remember the corrupt dealings. Many of these people have no idea. So you'll get someone like Ethan Klein, I think he's like a year older than me, doing a show where all of a sudden he's in politics. It would be akin to me one day saying, we're a football podcast now because people like football and we're going to talk about football. Yeah, we'd retain viewership. We'd slowly start building up that audience, but I have no idea anything about football.
Well, it's scary to realize, as I do, I'm probably older than the oldest person in this room, that there are people that don't remember 10 years ago. If people started watching the news, and there's obviously a whole generation of kids that wasn't watching news until 2016 and post, which is, I think, when there was one of the biggest, fastest transformations of what we see as news with all the fake fact checks and so on and the bias. That's all they know. That's what they think the news does. The news tells you what to think. The news tells you who's right and wrong, you know, gives their opinion and tries to force that down your throat. And the news censors so that you don't think the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And just when you look at how bold they're getting and how just emboldened people who are on the side of the establishment feel to, you know, spew this kind of violent rhetoric, could you even imagine a mainstream celebrity or YouTube celebrity who just began to comment on political issues from a conservative perspective, said that people should bomb some left-wing organization, said that they should do that, like the ACLU or a Planned Parenthood conference or something like that? I mean, first of all, it would be a story ever that everyone was talking about, but it would also be used as an excuse to censor every single other conservative in the sphere, because they would say, well, this one guy was a radical lunatic, and so that means we need to censor everyone else who's ever associated with them or is near them, because we're just going to get more of this unless we really stomp down on it quickly. But he can say something as horrific is this, which is literally a direct incitement to terrorism, and it's totally acceptable. He goes, well, I'm sorry, guys, and then it just goes away?
I don't think he said he was sorry at all, actually.
Wow, okay, fantastic.
I think he said, I got a little passionate there, yep. I should walk that back. And then later came out and said it was a joke, and I'm like, dude, you weren't joking, and your wife agreed with you when you said it. It was only after your producer or somebody, he looks over at him and then says, okay, I'll walk that one back, got a little passionate there. And then he called for other things like firing guns into the air, which is lethal. It's extremely dangerous.
Don't blanks also kill you if they fall?
Well, blanks don't eject anything.
Well, if you put a blank up to someone's head, you can kill them.
He was saying fire into the air. There's nothing that comes out. It's just a blast. But I mean,
but you know, a crazy would hear that and take it a step too far. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's incitement, but it's just,
if anyone on the right or anyone anti-establishment said that, their channel would be removed immediately.
Permanently.
He got permanently.
Yeah.
And
not for a week.
And they would get banned across the board from every other platform.
Yeah, has he been banned elsewhere? He's been banned on Facebook or Instagram?
No, I don't know about that. He's suspended for a week.
Can I ask
a
question?
From just YouTube or anything
Yeah,
else?
Just YouTube. Just
so none
suspension.
Of the other ones?
No. Just a one-week suspension.
Yep.
Alex Jones said something. I'm going to say it. He said to people. To what? He said, get your battle rifles ready because blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that it was figurative. They didn't care. They said, you're gone.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, which is a much more reasonable explanation, right? There is no figurative version of go bomb these
someone
people at this time. Yeah.
Someone should go
bomb this group. That's not figurative. That is a clear-cut, literal statement. You can't fall back. And it was just a joke, guys. Alex Jones,
you know,
gets banned from everything. Ethan Klein does it, of course.
Here's another thing that they do on the these leftists will say, will call for violence, and then they'll say, in Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
oh, please.
That doesn't work legally, but apparently it does, because they're not getting raided by the feds. They're not getting suspended. They will say things like, people need to take up their guns and go attack this group in a video game.
And then they're like,
oh, well, we can't ban it.
When the news cycle changes to being outraged about, like, a phony insurrection, they're going to get up on their high horse about how insurrection is horrible, even though they're constantly calling for violence.
There was that mom that spoke at one of these school board meetings where the parents have been around the country kind of irate about all the things going on.
You mean the domestic terrorists?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she said something like, I'm coming here Monday fully armed if you make the kids wear masks, whatever it was. We're not having it anymore. And they arrested her for that. And she said she was being figurative. She meant armed to. She said something that she said, we mean to unseat you.
Right.
I didn't mean I was going to come and hurt anybody. But, yeah, they arrested her.
But so they
her
arrested her. So they, but they didn't arrest Klein. Because he's calling for physical harm also on
on
the governor.
Well,
yeah.
He didn't mean it real fast.
I got to.
Sure, yeah.
So
he was
guys,
just joking.
Do you guys remember Boogie? He fired a gun into the air.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys know the story? He's a YouTuber and some guy showed up his house.
No, I don't.
And he pulled out a .22 and he, like, raised it up and fired. He got charged for that, I'm pretty sure. He got arrested and charged.
That sounds
so
right, yeah.
So my point here is he walked it back right away and said he got a little passionate. I don't know if that's an affirmative defense for a direct incitement to terror, to be honest. Like, I don't know if you can call for something like that on a show to millions of people and then went walking it back.
If people say they still heard it and that still, you know, told them what you thought.
Yeah, so I don't, I was going to do it. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm wondering
but
if when you get arrested for terroristic threats, if you said, I immediately said no.
It probably mitigates it, but I'm not sure it erases it.
Yeah, I think the response from the DA would be, so you confess.
Well, yeah, well, and also as if some maniac in his fan base who would commit an act of violence is going to go, oh, he said he got too passionate. I'm not going to do it now.
Right.
I got to be honest, though. I don't really care all that much. In the sense that I don't expect him to face any repercussions from this. I'm surprised he got suspended. It took like a day or two before he actually had any adverse reaction from YouTube, which was surprising. He made multiple calls for threats of assault or violence. What people need to understand about assault is that depending on your jurisdiction, assault doesn't mean physically attacking someone.
It's verbal. It can be verbal.
Or it can be an action. So right. In Illinois, assault is putting someone within reasonable fear of harm. So when he called on people to fire blanks, he's calling for people to assault the home of the governor, depending on the jurisdictional context. I'm not sure Texas has that. In New York, assault is causing actual physical harm. That means that if someone grabs you but doesn't cause any visible bruise, the cops are going to be like, no assault occurred, which is weird. So it depends on jurisdiction. But when I say I don't care, nothing's going to happen. I mean, I'm surprised it did. And this is, we know they did it years ago with the riots. We know they did it in 2017 with the riots in D.C. We know they get away with it. We know that D.C. actually paid Antifa millions of dollars in a lawsuit or have to pay. After their charges were dismissed, the Antifa people filed a lawsuit and won against the city. So not only do they continue to do this, they continue to escalate it. Yeah, I accept that as a reality. What more can you expect?
Do you think the suspension sort of going off a little turn here that you didn't expect on YouTube, does that have anything to do with the Elon effect? Are there token steps being made in some instances now because everybody recognizes that when things aren't fair and they're very one-sided, someone like Elon could come in and do something?
No, he couldn't buy YouTube. And the fact that H3 wasn't terminated immediately for this shows the bias. Alex Jones got wiped out across the board on every platform all around the exact same time. And it was for nebulous reasons.
But if YouTube hadn't suspended this guy for a week, would anybody have raised Cain other than people they don't care about?
Well,
it covers them, right? It allows them to say, oh, no, we did take action against them. Of course, we suspended him.
So the issue here is what he said was so far beyond what they could ever try to defend. I mean, saying someone should bomb, you know, a building or whatever was so far beyond anything they could argue was allowed. They had no choice. And all they did was give him a single strike. But it's like they called it bullying and harassment. That's what they did. They said the video's been removed for bullying and harassment. I'm like, wow. Calling on your millions of people.
Yeah.
Incitement to a terror attack.
Yeah.
I know. I know he walked it back after he got called out.
Doesn't matter.
But seriously, we've not been extended that courtesy. When we had Alex Jones on the show, he made a comment about the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And I immediately called him out and said, dude, none of that. You can't say that. And YouTube said, we don't care. And I was like, not only was it not me, we said no to it. And they're like, so what? And we got a warning because we didn't have, that was our first warning. So for Ethan, I guess he's already had his warning. So now you get one warning and then you move on a strike. So for us, we didn't get taken down.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said, just going back a little bit, what you said about him switching from being entertainment into something he should not be dabbling in, I think that is also just kind of generally a broader cultural problem we have with, I mean, just our education system, because, you know, the university system and now the K-12, it's like, in their view, they're doing the rules for radicals. Mm-hmm. So for them, you know, using this type of aggression or using language that is incitement, for them, that is actually normalized. And that's the culture is such that when a conservative, it doesn't even get remotely close to that, they can't handle it because everything, the default setting is to be so hard left because of our education system and culture and Hollywood and media. So it's like the soup. It's like the crock pot. That's what we soak in.
Carrie, you reminded me that a few years ago, I thought it was a joke. A lot of these things that I hear and I think is a joke and it becomes true. One of them was there were college campus authorities as well as students who were saying that if you say certain things to people, it's akin to violence. And there was actually a case where a teacher at a California college went to court and argued that these anti-abortion signs that kids were holding up on campus were akin to violence against her. She lost the case. But I thought the claim was sort of a joke. So at the same time, some people on that side are claiming mere language or mere signs, you know, protected free speech and language is akin to violence. By the same token, when that is committed by somebody on that side, it is then viewed quite differently.
This is why I said I don't care. Because I think if you haven't realized by now the asymmetrical cultural warfare that's been going on, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just, I don't think I can keep saying it every time something like this happens. Like, there's a double standard. What's happening? It's like, that was 3.5 years ago I was talking about, you know, the double standard we're seeing.
I think it was far more pronounced in the 60s, basically. That's when I think the root of a lot of this started. So,
it goes back all the way. You can trace the conflict today all the way back. I mean, literally all
the
way
back. But in terms of, like, the erosion of norms of just how things that happened in the 60s in terms of normalizing the breakdown of the family, normalizing the hatred of men and, you know, toxic masculinity and weaponizing race. Like, that really, I think, had the genesis most powerfully in the 60s.
And now here we are. One of the common themes we see with a lot of these mass shootings is fatherlessness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Family's broken.
One thing you don't hear, and some years ago I tried to look into this, didn't get very far, but it used to be as soon as there was a mass shooting, there was a rational discussion or a reasonable question that was asked as to what medicine the kids were on, because some of these antidepressants and antipsychotic medicines can exacerbate the feelings of violence in some. So some are apparently helped. Sometimes, as it says on the warning label, people become more suicidal and more violent. All of a sudden, I would say around the 2005 time period, coinciding with the pharmaceutical industry getting greater control, in my view, over the media and practically everything else, that question's no longer asked. Mm-hmm. And it used to be, again, that's the natural thing you would ask. Not that that's the only thing to blame, but you certainly want to know. It's not even asked by the media now. Like, people don't say, was the kid being treated and what medicine was he on? And just like, that's not a question anymore. And
Did he have a father in the home?
And well, that too. But I would bet money that these things are, you know, I would bet money that I'd be willing to bet money the kid has been on medication.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say one thing before we move on, because I sense that we're about to. For Hyla to sit there while Ethan says this and just go, I view that as a failure of being a wife. You should call your husband on his BS right there, right then, especially if he has a huge show that he's trying to make a difference to people, which I assume Ethan is trying to do. But I just want to point that out, because that I see that as a cultural failing, because it seems like women no longer recognize that they are supposed to be the check to their man and be like, you know what, maybe you shouldn't act
I don't think Ethan is trying to do anything. I don't think he knows
how
anything.
How gendered of you.
I know, terrible. I'm sorry.
When Steven Crowder wanted to have a conversation with Ethan Klein.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Ethan brought in Sam Cedar instead, ambushing Crowder, who was like, okay, whatever, fine, bye. Ethan Klein says he doesn't know anything about politics. So it's his words. He's correct. But there's something that's fascinating that's happened as politics has become pop culture. I think the establishment class, the Uniparty, the Democrats, the Pelosi type, they were so desperate to defeat Donald Trump, they did everything in their power to make politics pop culture, and now they will regret it. You do not want people who have no idea what they're talking about to be violently angry over these things. It's like all that energy you see when there's a baseball game lost or won, people riot throughout the city or whatever, turn that into a political issue. You don't want that. When I was younger, I used to say I wish people cared more about politics. And then I started to understand the average person has no interest in actually understanding it. They just want to fit in. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I want the people who care about this stuff and want to help make the world a better place care about it. I do wish everybody really did care about it in the sense that they would read and understand it. What we got now is people like Ethan Klein, who has no idea what he's talking about, calls for gun control and violence against people who have guns. And it's kind of like you're advocating for guns. Mm-hmm. Like you're giving people the reason to need them, but he doesn't care. When I think about this idea of the grifter in the political space, they say like so-and-so is a grifter or whatever. It's like, let me tell you, if someone is career-wise, like their whole life was politics, journalism, and news, and they talk about those issues, I probably wouldn't call them a grifter unless they did specific things. Like Ethan Klein being a comedy podcast jumping into politics, I'm like, yo, that is definition grifting. He was like, hey, this edgy comedy is no longer good. What do I do? Let's start a podcast. He interviews Jordan Peterson. Well, Jordan Peterson was getting popular. Then, it's not popular with the left. So he takes the episodes down and says, oh, I shouldn't have interviewed Jordan Peterson. He's just doing whatever he has to do to maintain a product for people. There you go.
Yeah. Did you want to? You know, that kind of thinking and that kind of behavior, it's a problem of just the total value of virtue, a breakdown of the family. But also, I don't know his specific case, but you look at the way the media, you know, and sort of instructs people to behave, and you also look at the way the educational system here, and I have no idea where he was educated, but speaking more broadly about our culture as a whole, I believe it was Thomas Sowell who made the observation that kids in school are taught it's very important to care about making a difference. They're not really taught that it's very important to know all that much about the thing you're trying to make a difference within. And it's very interesting that that's sort of our cultural ethos. I'm going to make a difference. Okay, well, what kind of difference? You know, because you made something different doesn't mean you made it better. If you didn't know what you were doing, you probably made it worse. But people aren't encouraged to do any of the real work that it takes to become informed about something before commenting on it or before trying to make some kind of differences and activists.
How about
learn
math?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, that's what kids in school should be doing. But then outside of that, when people go out into the world and they say they want to be an activist, I think there's a fantastic example of this in Matt Walsh's film. I haven't seen it yet, but even just in the preview where he asks these women at a women's march, what is a woman? And they can't give him an answer. How can you be at the Women's March and not be able to give an answer to the question, what is a woman? Can you imagine if you went to like a gun rights march or something and asked what is a gun and the person couldn't give you a definition? It's ludicrous.
I want to point something else out. I saw this in the Super Chat. This is Storm Viking who mentioned this. Trump spoke at the NRA event.
Yeah.
Ethan Klein called for terror against an event that had the former president at it with Secret Service details. So this is, I mean, it's crazy. This is the state we're in.
It's okay because it was against Trump.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say those. Guys, get ready to drink because I'm going to say those two magic words.
Oh,
Civil War.
Snap.
Here's what I see. I think most people who've watched the show have probably heard me make this point. But again, I some people are like, I've heard this before, Tim. Not everybody's heard it. Boomers are mostly unified in their politics. There's little division among boomers. They do have their wedge issues. Gen Xers are similar. But millennials are so divided that you can have someone like Ethan Klein call for an act of terror. Like, how does that even happen? Like, I can't imagine growing up someone accidentally calling for a terror attack against an event with the former president speaking at it. I mean, that just sounds absurd to me. But we're at the point now where, let's just say, he got too passionate, that's what he said, and it slipped out. What's the next generation going to be like? If Ethan has no reason to try and to apologize for this, and he basically didn't, he just said, I got a little passionate, and then he said Republicans are the party of dead children, further inflaming tribal tensions. Mm. Instead of just saying, yeah, I should not have said that. I'm so sorry, guys. We got to tone things down. No, he actually escalated the rhetoric against Republicans. If that's the direction things are going, you take a look at how the parallel economies have emerged. This is something that I warned about several years ago. 2018, I said, if we keep seeing censorship, I talked about this with Jack Dorsey. You will force people to create a parallel economy if they are to function. Banning people and taking away their livelihood will not stop them from living. It will force them to find alternate means of trade. Eventually, you will see a larger and larger parallel economy separate from yours. Once that happens, people will have no reason whatsoever to accommodate the other. Ethan Klein is a perfect example. He can call for this, and the only reason, in my opinion, he walked it back is because he knew YouTube would strike at his income. But as now, we have seen Twitter and many other platforms be totally lax and not enforce the rules. We're lucky they did in this instance. What happens is you'll get someone who, actually, what was it? Facebook allowed people to call for violence against Russians. There was what platform had the policy where you were allowed to rag on white people? Which one was that one?
I don't remember.
All of them.
Oh, was it Twitch? I don't know.
One of them said, "You can't insult historically marginalized groups, but you can, historically oppressive groups or whatever." Which is basically like you can rag on white people. When you get to the point
that's
where
that's very monolithic, there are many mm-hmm. white people who are oppressed, like
for,
Irish.
Well, for sure,
yes,
who
cares?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Slavic people are considered people of color by the Coalition of Communities of Color. The point is, though, when you get to a point where a platform says it's okay to target this group of people, but not this one. Because they don't care to lose. We're not going to make any money from that group anyway, and we don't want to lose money if we ban these people. You're going to get people being raised in two different ecosystems, two different economies. One kid's going to grow up and they're like, those people are crazy bad people. That's what my parents said, and it's true. And then, within a generation or two, people fight.
We have that. I mean, we've all probably talked to young people, maybe not so young people, where something that's all the rage and discussion on one side of the spectrum, they haven't even heard anything about. And you're like, you don't even know about that video, or you don't even know about something that is so big on the other, maybe parallel universe.
I feel like, though, that it's more on the other direction. Like, I feel like when Trump won, like just the conservative ecosystem. Like, I was at an event with Jack Dorsey. He did not know who William F. Buckley was.
Wow.
You know, a billionaire right. founder of America. It's like how, like, the familiarity with, like, the intellectual underpinnings of conservatism, they would have no clue. But I think most of us here at the table, or just people watching the show, like, could very well, you know, explain who the leftist, you know, leaders and publications. And so that level of ignorance, I think it's very self-secluding by the left. So I think that's part of why they had such a rude awakening with Trump.
Yeah, it shattered their worldview. They were told by the media it couldn't happen. They said Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning, and then the media was wrong. So what do you do when your world shatters like that? Yeah, you lose your mind.
Hmm.
Let's jump to this next story. We'll start talking about families. We have this from the Post Millennial. Paramount Plus sponsors drag event where child dances on stage for money.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what is happening?
Just pull up the Wikipedia entry for stripper. And I can't do it here because it does have nude women in the Wikipedia. But what you need to understand is that stripping does not mean being nude.
Right.
Some strippers can't take their clothes off, but they're still considered strippers. They call them bikini bars. The Wikipedia entry actually shows, it says bikini and go-go dancing. And it says the women have to be fully clothed. They have to cover their tops and bottoms. They dance on stage, and people give them money. At this event, it was a RuPaul's Drag Con. They had two children on stage, and this little boy was jumping and dancing around and taking money from people. This is grooming.
Hmm.
This kid, what they do is they put this kid in an environment, and they say it's innocent. There's
it's
nothing
fun.
Sexual about
yeah.
it. The kid then gets they normalize the behavior of dancing on stage for money from the audience. The way grooming would work, I'm not saying they will do it to this kid, but the way it would work is that after you do this, when the kid is a little older, you then say, hey, it's going to be a swimsuit show. We're doing take your shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Then they give you money. Then, oh, we're going to do another swimsuit thing, but this one you have to wear these special swimsuits. And then they give them Speedos or something. That's how grooming works. It works on adults. There are people who are groomed into being sex workers through this. This is not the most egregious thing we've seen. There was Desmond is Amazing, who quite literally removed clothing on stage and then took money from people at a bar full of adults. They're grooming your kids. Paramount is sponsoring this. Discovery Plus is a child drag event. This is a reality.
It's almost like there's a lot of pedophiles in media or something like
that's
that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, they normalize it one step at a time. And so here's the goal. They want you to look at this and say, well, it's just people dancing. You know, is it really that? And that's what they'll say to you. They'll say, it's just dancing. Right, right, right. They have to.
It's a drag show. It's a bunch of pervy dudes dressing up and trying to act like they're female dancers. That's not innocent.
So what they'll do is they'll say, it's just like a costume show. What are you so mad about? Why are you so obsessed with this? I wonder why you care so much, Seamus.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing, right? Like, let's expose children to this because we care so much that it has to be forced onto young ones. And then when you point out that there's something wrong with that, you're the one putting inordinate attention on it.
So the family's been destroyed. There is, you know, when I was covering this in my Timcast channel segment, there was a photo of Drag Queen Story Hour where there's these liberal parents smiling and laughing as they put their kids in front of this. They're into it. They like it.
I think it says something about where the parents are coming from, of course. And I hope this was a parody account, but it reminds me of on Twitter a couple of years ago, there's a woman, didn't say it was a parody account, who was complaining at being attacked because she had in her bio that she was transgendering her twin toddlers. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to think about it. It just, you know.
Bill Maher.
I think it's a big reason why in Virginia, where I live, that's why we had Glenn Youngkin win. I was a volunteer on his campaign, and a lot of it had to do with the schools and what was being taught in schools, and a lot of this gender ideology, which should not be taught in schools. It should be something, if you, as a parent, you have the right to teach your children your values. And Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat opponent, said no, that they shouldn't be telling teachers what to think. So I think, I mean, having worked on the campaign, I was there on election night, it gave me a lot of hope that there are a lot of parents who are pushing back on this. So
homeschool your kids.
Yeah.
There's no question about it at this point. Homeschool
your kids. Yeah, or private Christian schools or...
Even then, you really have to vet it.
That's true, too.
Really have to vet it.
They have, the Christian schools have some of the same accreditation facilities that require them to do the things you'd be surprised that the public schools have to do. But there is a trend, as you guys know, and did a story on this in Full Measure recently, toward not just homeschooling, but there's pods now. There's groups. There's organizations in the neighborhood where they're getting actual more formal group education just outside the public school system. That parallel economy is forming. People are just deciding... They don't agree with it, and if you keep going too radical in the school system, a parallel system is going to develop. I think we're there with the schools.
It's interesting because with the entire public school structure, which has been imitated by a lot of these private schools as well, the way the system has been set up, we take it for granted. But it really is very bizarre that the status quo is such that parents send their children to go off with complete strangers for basically the entire day, for basically their entire childhood. That is very strange.
And to learn not just stuff we consider traditional education, but all of their social values and their moral values and all the extra stuff that, as a parent, you kind of want to do yourself, usually.
Yeah, exactly. I think, unfortunately, a lot of parents don't want to do it themselves. It's very sad, but I think it happens a lot. They don't want to have uncomfortable conversations. There are people who will even say sex ed needs to be taught in schools. Why? Well, because I don't want to have that conversation with my kid. What's wrong with you? You want a stranger to?
They were raised in that system is what's
wrong
with them.
Yeah, that's also true. That's fair. That's a fair point.
Yeah, well, who was it who was talking about how kids who used to grow up on a farm knew about the birds and the bees? Because
the animals.
I've mentioned that before. Well, when I was in high school, another student literally asked me the question, how did people learn about sex before sex ed? I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Like, are you serious? I was like, well, because people were, A, more closely connected to nature. B, people figure out how to do that on their own. The reason you have sex education, the reason adults need to talk to young people about that kind of thing is to tell them what not to do. That's the whole point. You're getting older, and X, Y, and Z, and this, you should know that, yes, you should be married to someone before you do X, Y, and Z. This makes children.
Well, Seamus, I think you got to be fair to these people. You see, before the advent of sex ed, humans had no idea how to reproduce.
True, yeah. No, it's true.
We didn't know what was causing this.
Lucky we ended up.
We were very much like panda bears.
Yeah, we were not smart.
Aliens came and taught us about reproduction. And then we wrote it down in books, and now we have to teach kids. Otherwise, who knows what will happen?
Well, the other thing was that we didn't know that men could get pregnant.
Right.
And that's something that we're only now learning. And but I do have to do a plug for the bill that we talked about a little bit earlier. And if you all watching can go to womensbillofrights.com. We are pushing back on this at the federal level and also at the state level. So we just introduced a week and a half ago a bill, the Women's Bill of Rights, and it says it's a resolution to codify that a woman is a woman, and we define what a woman is through biological sex, that she has a uterus, that she has female reproductive organs. It's really pathetic that we have to spell this out, but we're doing it. And so we've had several members of Congress, including a Democrat, Katie Porter from Pennsylvania. So kudos to her. We're working also with the Women's Liberation Front, which is a hard left feminist group. And as a conservative group, we want to work with women who want to protect women's rights. And then we're also going to be moving it for the next phase to the state level as well. So you can contact your local legislature and say, we want this in I want it in my state, too. We're doing it at the federal level and the state level.
So how do you define woman?
Well, on the website, we have it here. It's I can read it. For purposes of state federal law, a person's sex is defined as his or her biological sex, either male or female, at birth. For purposes of state federal law.
Yeah, that's
yes. A female is an individual whose biological reproductive system is developed to produce ova. A male is an individual whose biological reproductive system is developed to fertilize the ova of a female. For purposes of state federal law, woman and girl refer to human females, and the term man and boy refer to human males.
So simple.
Well, there you go. I actually think it's a little complicated, you know. Because when you were mentioning, you know, uterus and ova and all that stuff,
yeah,
I'm like...
You could build one of those in the future.
Right.
You take an animal's uterus and put it in a...
The argument that they make is, what about a woman who's had a hysterectomy? Now she's not a woman anymore, and it's like...
Very bad argument.
Yeah. But it works on weak-minded people.
Yeah.
That's why it's like adult human female and adult human male. And they're like, well, what's a male or what's a female? Oh, you want to read the biology of it all. Okay, now we...
XXXY.
Yeah.
But even that, it goes so much deeper, right? Because it's not as if we discovered the XX and XY chromosomes and went, oh my gosh, there's two categories of people that we now know about. It's obvious from the get-go. It's insane that we have to explain it to people now.
I think, I don't know if you made this point last week. It was a really good point. Humans didn't discover the X and Y chromosome until recently.
Yeah.
But humans always knew there were two kinds of people.
It wasn't created as a social construct for the purpose of oppressing people. This is something I assume since the beginning of time, although I wasn't there, that has been recognized and accepted, you know, without being controversial until really relatively recently.
I wouldn't be surprised if we already are starting to see the argument where they say that the X and Y chromosomes aren't real and that they were created to reinforce the patriarchal gender binary.
They will literally say anything.
Science is sexist.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
They say it was a bunch of white men.
That's right.
Who needed a legal way to, what was it called? Phrenology?
Yeah, with the head measuring.
Yeah, they would measure the heads.
Yeah.
And, like, they wanted to justify racist ideas. So, chromosomes, not a real thing, as it turns out.
Well, and this is because they do not use language the way human beings are supposed to use language. They're not trying to they're not trying to communicate any kind of truth, right? So when they talk about what a woman is, what insurrection is, what terrorism is, what violence is, they get it wrong constantly, right? They call men women. They call statements of fact about what a person's biology is violence. They call it terror. They don't call it terrorism to tell someone that they should bomb a public event that the former president of the United States is going to be at. Oh, no, it was a joke. Well, he did get really passionate and he walked it back.
True, yeah.
So I guess we're fine with it. But they literally use it to try to signal what they want. It's very sad and it's unbecoming. It's degrading. It's not how humans are supposed to use language. That's actually kind of the way that like dogs use language. When you tell your dog, sit, give me paw, he doesn't understand those words. He knows he'll get a treat. And that's what we have actual grown adult human beings walking around doing, using words and only understanding them in the context that gets them what they want instead of the truth that's actually supposed to lie beneath the phrasing.
So let's dissect that a little bit. What you're saying is the dog basically hears rumble, and then when he knows to respond to that sound, he'll get a treat, but he doesn't understand the concepts or ideas behind what it means.
Exactly.
So my dog does.
But yeah, sure.
Well, yours is special. Your dog is very special.
Yeah. You have a collie, right? The collie's the smartest breed, I think.
There you go. Yep.
I don't know if I agree with the dog analogy thing. I think it's fair to say you don't need to use it. You can just say there are people who don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
They just know that they can say certain words and they'll be rewarded.
Well, that's my point.
Case in point, we had a progressive on the show who said conservatives are saying trans people don't exist.
What?
And I said, what does that mean?
What?
And he was like, huh? I'm like, what does that mean? Like, Ben Shapiro knows Blair White. He knows she exists. What does that mean? They don't think trans people exist. I'm like, okay, you're not telling me anything. And well, that's your point.
Exactly. It's a specific phrase to get their point across, to get what they want from you, to shame you instead of communicating an actual idea.
That's transphobic, as we've talked about.
May as well be a grunt.
Exactly.
Yeah. People call transphobic often what the person calling them that means is you don't like the idea of trans people, but they're not afraid of trans people.
Right.
They are not transphobic. Exactly. I'm not sure how that word has become just accepted into the lexicon.
Well, same thing as homophobic and all that.
Yeah.
Well, you're scared of gay people.
Not really.
Well, it's interesting. You made this point that it could just be a grunt. It's true that like any word could be a grunt. We make noises, and those noises are understood to have certain meanings. But what a human is supposed to be able to do is abstract with those noises, understand what they mean, use them honestly. My point with the dog analogy is whenever humans fail to live up to their rational potential, they behave animalistically.
You know, I think words are oppressive. English is a colonial language, and if we want to truly speak in a way that is representative of all human cultures...
Clicks and whistles.
Grunts.
Yeah.
Bah.
Yeah.
Well, that's honest. And to be fair, when women aren't around, that is how men talk.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't. Yeah. I'm sorry for
letting the cat out of the bag there. Yeah.
Yeah. If you watch the Seamus Freedom Tunes members only, you know, I'll read the line as Dr. Fauci, like, "You have to wear your mask," and then I'll look up at Seamus and go,
Seamus, I have the antidote to your word question, and it's called the Woktionary.
So we made
this product with the Independent Women's Network.
Wonderful.
So you go to iwnetwork.com. I'll give you this after the show.
Thank you. You're welcome to have it. Yes.
It defines all these terms, like white adjacent, systemic racism, triggered, restorative justice, implicit bias. It's all here. We spell it out. The real English. We give the real definition of what it means.
To your point, I've asked people in my orbit, because I had to look this up. Everybody starting years ago started saying equity, equity, equity instead of equality. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but no one explained that. When journalists adopt these phrases of advocacy, I think they better know what they're – I think they probably shouldn't usually, because more thought should go into it. You can quote somebody, but you shouldn't be adopting it. And I looked up equity, and it's, as you guys probably know, but I think a lot of ordinary folks, we don't, totally different than equality. And if you ask young people using that phrase, and it's just, you know, ubiquitous today, most people can't define equity versus equality.
Exactly. Because they don't need to. You say the word, you get the treat.
Well, it's equal outcomes versus equal opportunity. That's equity is socialism. Equality is equality of opportunity.
Meritocracy. And,
exactly.
They do not like meritocracy at all.
No, that's
equity,
racist.
Equity, to me, is the notion of you predefine people based on your understanding without knowing somebody of what their skill set is or what their abilities are, and you tell them, based on something like skin color, that they can't do something as well as everybody else and they need help. I mean, that's how I describe equity, where there are other people who don't. And that you're telling, to me, it's almost the opposite of what the goal is, because you're labeling a certain group of people based on nothing but
if you look at the arguments they make, it's one group has privileges and so they should be held back. Other groups have disadvantages, so they should be pushed forward.
Yeah.
So equity is hobble those who are successful. It's kind of a tall grass. It's typical communist ideology.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a kid in America, who in my generation we were all told whatever color we were, this was our thing, is you can be anything, and that's what we thought. I hear women today talking about, you know, I want my daughter to know that, you know, women could even be doctors. I'm like, we knew that in the 1960s. Who told you in 1990 or 2000 that wasn't possible? Because we've been through all this.
I really don't think they think about it. They're living in an insane fantasy land. They have a persecution complex. Everything's The Handmaid's Tale, right?
There was some comment that someone posted where it's this little black girl is in school and she's asked what she wants to be when she grows up or something. And she says, I want to be an astronaut. And the teacher goes, that's great. And she goes, what? And the teacher's like, that's fantastic. And the girl says, no, you're supposed to tell me I can't do it because I'm a woman. And she was like, but you can do it. It doesn't matter. And then she was like, you know, this famous astronaut that I'm a big fan of was told she couldn't do it. So she, you know, fought against it and rose to be the best. And she was like, yes. And because of her, you now can do it. No one's holding you back. And then it just shows, like, the panel of the girl, like, shocked and confused. but it's fascinating because I've experienced this, that in the modern era, these activists actually tell people you can't succeed.
That's what I'm saying.
Because of your race.
Right.
So don't try. It's their fault.
But have a nice day. Kids who wouldn't have occurred to them because that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And they're suddenly identified at a fairly early age now and told that you are different and you can't do things. You know, that.
Yeah, that's what our Winsome Sears, our lieutenant governor in Virginia, who was Youngkin's running mate, she said. That's what CRT does. It makes the light in the child's eyes, you know, if you tell, you know, and she's black herself. And she said, if you tell black children you can't succeed, you're inherently flawed, why would we even think they would try?
Right.
Of course they're going to fall, you know, into gangs and drugs because we keep telling them that they're victims and that they're hopeless.
Well, I said it before, but is it surprising to anybody that the group of people advocating for less population are favoring policies that result in destroyed families, destroyed economies, sterilization of children, and outright abortion of children?
The Planned Parenthood thing, I thought, was a conspiracy theory for years, you know, and now they're having to grapple with it.
Which one?
Yeah, which part of
well,
it?
Yeah. what's the...
Margaret Sanger?
Yes, I'm a late... By the way, I'm a very late comer to politics, so I'm one of the people you guys are talking about sometimes. But
you were a journalist.
Margaret Sanger... for a long time. You know, was part of wanting to apparently shape and annihilate you know, the black population. Yep. And now Planned Parenthood is having to grapple with that. And on their website, they address this, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that that was the case and how they feel about that now. And, you know, that's a very tough thing for them. But
mm-hmm. Oh, I read it was a fact check. I think it was. Which one of those fact checkers, maybe it was the Washington Post
fact
checker.
Yes, we were just talking. I was just going to bring that up.
It was insane about the KKK rally because someone said, oh, Margaret Sanger spoke at KKK rallies. And so they did fact check about whether that was true. And they said, no, actually, she only spoke at one event, one KKK event, and it was a women's KKK event. It was like the women who are attached to the men in the KKK. So it was like a women's KKK event.
Okay.
And she had a pure intention for going there. She was just trying to spread her message of birth control to whoever would listen. So they literally said it was okay that she went to a KKK event because she was trying to teach about birth control to everybody, no matter who would listen. So she, and I was just like, do you hear what you're saying?
This is insane. I got
to
address, Michael Malice, who's a big friend of the show and a good friend of mine. He's argued this is not true about Margaret Sanger. And, you know, I recently was talking to him and he was like, no, this is not true. She was advocating for birth control. She was trying to end poverty by telling these women. And I'm just like, I hear your argument, dude, but I pulled up PlannedParenthood.org that outright calls her racist.
She's a eugenicist.
Well, she was a eugenicist, she's quoted.
Planned Parenthood calls her racist.
Yep, she's actually.
I suppose I think Michael's a very smart guy, and I respect him a whole lot, but I don't understand how his point can be correct that she wasn't. Maybe I got something wrong in what he was saying. But they actually say she believed in an inherently racist and ableist ideology that labeled certain people unfit to have children. She believed in eugenics. We denounced her beliefs in eugenics. She was going to the black community specifically, telling them to stop having kids. Sounds like she was racist. You know, I don't know, whatever. Everybody was racist back then to varying degrees, right? They were racist against Irish people, right?
And what's so bizarre is that there's such a total disconnect between that fact and then the outcome of the disparity of the proportion of black children who are then killed. You know, I think the ratio is like 4 or 5,
5 to 1.
You know, 5 to 1. That's black to white babies, but yet black people are a much smaller percentage of the population. So her vision has been realized. Like, she got what she was dreaming for. And that's what's disgusting is, like, Planned Parenthood doesn't acknowledge this.
I was watching a video from, it was actually some, like, critical race theorist guy who pointed this out. It was like a black identitarian guy saying, Margaret Sanger was racist. Planned Parenthood says she's racist. And they were explaining how if the black population wasn't getting abortions at the rate they were, they would be a substantially larger portion of the U.S. population by now. But you were mentioning it's like 5 to 1.
Oh yeah, they were the second largest minority group ahead of Latinos. But because of abortion, black people are more likely to abort than Latinos. Now Latinos have surpassed black Americans as the biggest second biggest group.
What was that the conspiracy theory you're talking about, or are you talking about selling baby parts or something?
Well, that's that too. That's great. I found out about Margaret Sanger because an African American girlfriend of my brother some years ago referred to it, and it surprised me because I'd always just heard it in passing and didn't put any thought into that being possibly true. Yeah. But she said, "Oh, black people know this," and I started, so I looked it up, and yeah.
Yeah, we had Daryl Davis on, and he's gone relatively woke. He used to talk to members of the KKK and talk them out of that ideology. And he said that his mother knew even then, like a long time ago, she knew that they were like trying to use black people to, for example, we all know about, you know, the Tuskegee experiments and stuff like that. He said that they understood that Planned Parenthood was kind of a little bit of an extension of that. I'm paraphrasing him. I don't misquote him, but my understanding was that they knew that that's what Planned Parenthood was going for, which was like really eye-opening for me. I was like, they knew. It was very much common knowledge, and it was just one of those things. They just accepted it.
No, but not only do they accept it, they promote it. Like, they say, mm-hmm. You know, these white supremacists who are pro-life, they want to hold back black women. You know, so it's a moral good for black women to want to abort their children.
Yeah.
And good on Senator Tim Scott, because he called out Janet Yellen. You know, Janet Yellen said, if we had, you know, fewer abortions in the past, then that we would have had a much smaller GDP growth. And Tim Scott said, you know, as the black son of a single mother, I am so glad that she did not share your view, basically.
So I just want to issue a clarification. According to Planned Parenthood, they're not selling tissue, they're donating it.
Oh, that's nice. So when
but
didn't Project Veritas sell a sting videos about this?
I can't remember if it was Veritas.
It was money. So I also ask people to look up, because you can find not the story, but the press announcement. ABC, a couple of years ago, with one of my former producers, Kim Skeen, and Chris Wallace, who worked at ABC at the time, because Kim turned me on to this, back when you could cover normal stories that people cared about in a normal way as a journalist without getting canceled, they did a story on the sale of body parts, you know, by fetal body parts, and the market among the pharmaceutical industry and others for clinical study and all kinds of things. And again, that story's nowhere to be found on the internet, but if you Google or DuckDuckGo, your choice, whatever.
I mean, ABC's 2022 air report on fetal tissue trafficking,
yes,
March 1st,
2000. Read a little bit of that. Read about how much they were paying for, I think, a brain.
There was literally a quote from one of the directors of Planned Parenthood saying she wanted to buy a new car. Yeah. Unbelievable. So I don't care if they say they're donating it. I do not believe it.
Today it's Project Veritas. What I'm telling you is not long ago, ABC News and Chris Wallace were doing this kind of reporting when reporters were, you know, more open to doing neutral stories on important controversies.
Mm-hmm. And so the organization, I'm blanking on the name, Veritas. It was the Center for Medical Progress. And what they did is after they filmed these employees of Planned Parenthood and representatives haggling over the price of fetal tissue, they edited it, yes, but they placed the full unedited footage on the internet for anyone to watch if they wanted to.
And they got in trouble, right? Like, yeah, everything on the news is edited at some point if it's not just a full, raw, hour-long tape, so.
Well, and the reason, if I understand properly, that David DeLeiden actually got in trouble was just because of two-party consent laws with respect to filming people. It wasn't because he edited anything deceptively or dishonestly.
Right.
And
that used to not be an argument, and I saw that raised when I was doing at CBS, not about me, but when people wanted to make controversies, all of a sudden, opposing people politically would say, that tape was edited. I'm like, yeah, yep, all of our tapes are edited.
Everything. Duh. And people who are deceptively editing a tape do not place the entirety of the footage online for everyone to be able to watch it.
So this was a big story in 2015. Undercover Video shows Planned Parenthood official discussing fetal organs used for research. They responded to it saying, it's tissue donation.
But in the video, in the footage, the woman literally says,
they're just
whoever
prices.
Throws out, yeah, she says, whoever throws out a figure in a negotiation first loses. Yeah, that, you know, the thing you say when you're donating something to somebody. Insanity.
Now,
but what does donation mean, right? They don't know what words mean, or they don't use them properly. They are intentionally deceptive.
You know,
what does donation mean?
You say you're paying for time and transportation of the stuff and to have it preserved, so that there's all kinds of ways to say you're not paying for the tissue, but in fact.
Seamus, I'm going to donate this Wokeshenary to you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, can you spot me $20?
Yeah, of course, man. you got to make a profit off your donations.
That's right.
That's
donating.
No. He didn't.
You got to pay for the lights and the.
I sold him
sitting
nothing.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't sell me anything. I just happened
to get the money.
The
effort you had to use to hand him.
By the way.
Carpal tunnel risk.
I really wish the Planned Parenthood defense would catch on with the IRS. Like, no, that wasn't work. I didn't sell that. I donated that. But I mean, I happen to make money. But it was
something tells me that the IRS isn't going to be concerned about that.
No.
Federal agencies are not going to go after the left in this way.
Ever.
Look at what happened with Donald Trump and Russiagate. One of the biggest. Now we're looking at the Sussman trial with what's going on. Hillary Clinton knowing about and signing off on a lot of the stuff. Some of the most shocking revelations we've heard in a long time. Russiagate was staged. It was fake. It was a hoax, tricking the government. The many elements of the government, the FBI knew it was fake. They went after it anyway. Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how many of them were really tricked?
So we got a couple guys,
which was part of his defense. Actually, the Sussman, that was his defense. Was like, well, they already knew, so I wasn't actually. It was immaterial if I was lying.
Well, in the FBI's defense is we didn't know that they're such bad at their jobs and they're supposed to be top federal agents that they don't even do due diligence when a political operative brings them research on one of the most sensitive things they could do, which is an opposing political campaign. My sources at FBI tell me they used to not go, you know, within a mile of an investigation like that. It was so controversial. Just to avoid any appearance of conflict, they stayed away from journalists and political figures, at least the honest guys, and now we're to believe that they didn't even do due diligence when they're handed, you know, opposition research.
Well, it was because he knew him personally, because Sussman had worked formerly at the FBI. And
even
fun
more
fact,
so, they should have questioned
the guy who he met with, James Baker, was my former professor at Harvard Law School. Actually, a good person. Like, and he's the one who I think is at the center of the damning text messages that he's reported. So good on him. So yeah.
Do we know if he lied or if he just got passionate in the moment? And then walked it back.
It was a passionate text message.
He was joking.
They're walking it back now.
It was a
joke.
The whole thing.
No foul.
Can't wait for them to apologize.
Right. Saying Robbie, double standard.
Dave Smith always says.
At this point, it's like nails on a chalkboard because it's like, yes, we know. It's some 16-year-old is going to start watching the news and then go to his dad and be like, Dad, there's a double standard. He's going to go, oh, son.
I remember when I thought that wasn't going to be the case. Yeah, I think it's Dave Smith and Robbie Bernstein always make this joke, like, oh, no, we're waiting for an apology on that. It's going to come any day. They're going to apologize on that any day.
Listen,
I'm sure.
Carter Page, last time I checked, the former Trump campaign associate who was improperly spied upon with doctored evidence from the FBI, who, by the way, had never met or talked to or communicated with Donald Trump directly, but through a wiretap improperly done on Carter Page, Donald Trump's communications could be captured the way they allow themselves to capture all the communications of those in orbit around the one wiretap person. To this day, as far as I know, he has not received so much as an apology. In fact, his efforts at his own expense to try to get some, let's say, equity in court over all that happened to him have just gone unanswered. His case has been thrown out. The FBI has not said so much as, you know, now that we've convicted the one lawyer, if nothing else, of doctoring a document in your case, we're sorry. Nothing. You know, just standing
by. Oh, and he only got probation. He got, like, I think, like 400 hours of community service, although he should have spent a year in jail.
Trump needs to win in 2024.
Yes. Mm.
We had Kash Patel on the show, and my attitude is just fire everybody. As soon as Trump wins again, just get in there and just fire everyone. Mm. She'd be like, you're fired. The line he's famous for.
Yeah,
he's just...
Well, and the press strategy should be different, too. So I was there working for John Solomon, who's hopefully going to come on with you guys soon, with Just the News. And that was the year in 2020 when we were launching, so it was the last year of the Trump presidency. And it was so hard to get in the room credentialing, so I was covering the White House for him. And because of the pandemic, the White House Correspondents Association was very dictatorial about, first of all, they're that way normally about who's allowed in the room, but because of COVID, they severely constrained who was in the room. So as a startup working for a guy who was, you know, reporting the truth, John Solomon, during pandemic, it was really hard to get in the room. And I only got in the room because of Kayleigh McEnany allowed me in the room, myself and One American News. And from One American News, Chanel Rion, their founder, she opened my eyes to what's happening in that press briefing room. And our understanding is if Trump comes back, he's going to change the strategy of what happens in that press briefing room. Because right now, the WHCA is a private nonprofit.
That's the White House Correspondents Association.
Yes.
Oh, so Alex Jones, press secretary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but as far as allowing...
Yes, she said yes.
That is not what I said.
No.
It was more the other way around. As far as like who's in the room to ask the president a question. Because right now the WHCA is a liberal good old boys club that's been around for 100 years that is dictating to the president who's allowed on government property, and they don't allow conservatives in the room. And if you're a conservative and you try to get a seat on the board for WHA, you can't. So Chanel Rion from One American News started her own competing nonprofit, and the Trump White House, was considering recognizing that and getting more equal representation in the room. Because if you see the questions that they were asking Trump, they were not fair questions.
Right.
Like, my first question that I asked Trump when I was in the White House press briefing room was, I asked him a question about what was happening with Hong Kong. And it was, Jimmy Lai had just been arrested. So I'm asking about China and Hong Kong. Chanel asked a question about Iran policy in the Middle East. And then I think it was somebody from NBC asked a question about QAnon. So it's like, The supposed, you know, conspiracy right-wing journalists are asking substantive policy questions, and then you have these other, you know, White House Correspondents Association establishment types. They're there to make Trump look bad. And he was egged on because he thought that it would win him points, and it won points with the base. But I think it turned off the suburban women, the more middle-of-the-road people. And so from what I understand, that would be one thing that he would change substantially. And I think it's good.
I made a couple posts on Instagram for called the CNN Challenge. And it was, there's no real challenge. It was turn on Fox News, and then whatever the news is, switch to CNN, and they'll be talking about Trump. So I used to have CNN playing in the background all the time. Because, you know, my mentality was when news breaks, they'll report it really, really quickly. And then one day I was just sitting in, you know, I was like recording something, and then I turned the volume back up. And then I'm thinking, I'm watching it, I'm just like, have they been talking about Trump all day? Like there was like a storm or something happened. I'm like, so I changed the channel and it was like riots in Iran. And then I was like, wow. All right. So I'm on Fox News now. I normally don't watch Fox News. And then something else was happening. I think it was a hurricane was coming. And I turned on CNN and they're like doing a roundtable about Donald Trump. And then I was just like, this is crazy. I switched to Fox News and they're like, here's what you need to expect the upcoming storm. And I was like, I guess I'll leave Fox on.
Listen, it's CBS. When Fox News started, Les Moonves, who was head of CBS at the time, corporate, came into the Washington, D.C. newsroom and convened us all around a conference table and said, is what's happening with Fox, this early popularity, is it real or is it something that just crazy people are watching? And I was too young, you know, too young to speak up, and finally understood that that's the wrong thing to do sometimes because I used to speak up too much in bad situations where I shouldn't. I kept my mouth shut because I was fairly new. Around the table, every other journalist there said it's just a fake, stupid thing that that's speaking to crazies. Meantime, I had discovered what you had as a former CNN person. I used to have CNN on in my, you know, office all day just to see if there was breaking news, and there used to be. And when Fox came on, Fox had news before the other networks did and before CNN did often, sometimes a couple of days before, and then the others would follow it up. So I started, being sort of the contrarian that I am, putting Fox News on in my office. And, of course, that gets me pegged, I'm sure, around the newsroom instead of, gee, she's smart because we're all watching one thing, but we're all supposed to be kind of gathering, you know, breaking news, and at least one person's watching another network and learning new things. I'm sure I was pegged as sort of that crazy Fox watcher, but I saw the same thing you did, Tim.
Yep. And then I just stopped watching.
Well, a lot of people stopped watching CNN.
Well, now they're saying with the new ownership, they're going to purge all of that stuff out of CNN. That's just the death knell.
Well, also, you can't, it's too, this is my opinion, my thought, and I interviewed a lot of current and former CNNers for the last book that I wrote about all of this. It's too endemic. You can try. It's sort of like Trump trying to get rid of the establishment, you know, bureaucracy that's the deep state, you might say. You can try all you want, but they're really entrenched and strong. And the news industry, whether it's, not that everybody feels the same way, but so many people in the news industry and the way they're being brought up in journalism colleges, I think that's a tough road to hoe at CNN.
I think.
Did I say road to hoe? Road to hoe. Hoe to row.
I think freedom.
I'm triggered.
Meritocracy and honesty are winning. I think you look at the collapse of the establishment press. You look at the expansion of gun rights. The narrative isn't working. Their lies are not working. A regular person will hear, we need background checks and a ban on assault weapons. But now they can Google it. And the ones who do go, hey, wait a minute, we already have background checks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but there's a gun show loophole. Really? What's that? Google, oh, there isn't one? That's a lie? It's a political term, not a real thing. Oh, that's weird. Well, what about assault weapons? Assault weapons have no definition. Wikipedia says assault weapon is ill-defined. It typically refers to a pistol grip or forward accessories or maybe magazine size, but there's no real definition. So when regular people are, they hear these things from Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I got to tell you, is red-pilling people like crazy.
Yep.
When he's like, a 9mm is going to blow a lung out of the body, you're going to get some regular person who's going to be like, whoa, really? I was watching a movie. What? And they're going to Google it and go, what? That's not real. What else isn't real? If Joe Biden was wrong about that, what else was he wrong about?
I think you're right. When you overplay your hands, I think the organized campaign of propagandists to try to create this artificial reality, to make fringe things seem as though they are the norm, to make the majority of people think that they are in the minority. You know, this is what social media and the internet's been all about. People get wise, and the truth takes a little longer to be told, but the truth usually survives. It just takes more time.
Yeah, but
part of it is
yes, the language. Like that's why we made the Wiktionary, is because the language, it's new concepts, it's new things that people aren't as familiar. And then once they understand it, they're like, they reject it. The body rejects that organ transplant. That so a new one right now is the ESG. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask a random person on the street, what do you think about ESG? You know, equity, social governance, for investing. You know, they're not going to know what that means. But if then if you explain what it means, which is let's use capitalism and something that should be apolitical to bludgeon and push in a socialist leftist agenda, they're going to say that's not okay. It should be apolitical. But they don't know the lingo yet. But they're waking up. And that's why you have people, you know, creating Strive Capital. The guy who wrote Woke Inc. is starting.
What you got to do is when you go to people, talk about how ESG is good. ESG is, it's you want to invest, and I'm not mean this literally, no financial advice. You say, you really got to take a look at this ESG stuff. The idea is simple. Instead of merit, you know, skill, determining whether or not a business succeeds, we are going to focus on political activism. So, like, if a company is going to sell solar panels, instead of hiring engineers who have graduated with degrees, we're going to hire activists. That's going to make you a good buck. And then people are going to be like, what? How is my solar panel company going to make money if they're doing political activism and not selling solar panels? It reminds me of Iron Man. When in the first one, he says, oh, Marvel reference. Tony Stark announces they're not doing weapons anymore. And then they have that scene of Jim Cramer saying, the stock. And then he hits the mug with the baseball bat and says, this is a weapons company that doesn't sell weapons. That's what ESG
right,
is.
Right.
You're investing. I just got to say, I'm not going to tell anybody who to invest in. My understanding is that the ESG companies did really, really poorly, like in terms of, you know, return.
Well, that's a shock.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just – if you want to invest in, a meat processing plant that cares more about political activism than processing meat – I think that's one of the stupidest possible investments a single human being can make. You might as well just literally donate the money to a charity. At least then you can write it off.
Wait, hold on. You don't think that I should invest in the vegan-run meat processing plant?
No, I think it's a good idea.
Oh.
If there is a vegan-run meat processing... Well, I should walk that back. What I mean to say is vegan meat plant, I thought you were saying.
Mm-mm.
I thought you were saying
that's
like
an
a plant that grows meat.
No, but I mean like... I thought
that's what you were saying too.
Yeah, I thought you were saying a plant that makes fake meat. I'm like, that's a good idea, actually.
Look, I mean, if that were possible, yes, absolutely invest in that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give you guys bad financial advice. It wasn't financial advice, as we like to say on this show.
Well, there's a real-time example of that just happened once you explain it to the average, you know, to shareholders. So Carl Icahn is this hedge fund billionaire. And he's obsessed with the treatment of pregnant pigs. And he was trying to force McDonald's to change their practices to meet his standards, not the industry best practice standards. He said it wasn't good enough. And so he tried to force his people to be on the board of McDonald's. But thank God McDonald's just rejected it, the shareholders and they voted. And they said, no, keep your activists off our board. They have no clue what they're talking about with actual meat processing. Not to mention, you know, low-income people, a lot of people, average people shop at McDonald's. This is going to make food more expensive for them. So you have a hedge fund billionaire trying to make food way more expensive for average people, and they rejected it.
I just want to pull up this Forbes Advisor article. It's not easy being green. Why ESG is underperforming. Why is ESG underperforming in 2022? I just want to say, if you think investing money into anti-meritocratic systems, you are a moron.
Also, because if these companies were profitable, you wouldn't have to invent something called ESG. Companies would already be doing the thing that would make them money and make them more profitable as a business. You wouldn't have to threaten them with a bad ESG score or incentivize them with a good one.
Here's the pitch. Seamus, mm-hmm. We're taking on investors for my company.
Okay.
What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
We make pizzas.
Yes. Beautiful.
Now.
Chicago style.
Who's leading the team? Black Lives Matter.
Of course.
What?
Now, do they have experience making pizza? No.
No.
But their hearts are in the
equity.
Right place.
Equity.
Right.
Equity.
Right. Look, I don't want my pizza made by someone whose heart isn't in the right place.
I hope you have some women up there at the top.
Exactly.
I hope
same.
You have.
Well, hold on. What do you mean by woman?
Not hope. Mandate.
Yeah. Someone who identifies as a woman is good enough for me.
Yeah.
I've been wondering. 6'5" dudes, but they recently transitioned. So.
Yeah. I've been wondering why, this is kind of related, the trend we've probably all noticed in the past 10 years, which are ads on TV for products and companies that aren't telling you about their product. They're telling you what they donate and what they do. And I started asking young people, because it doesn't appeal to me. I don't buy my products based on that. Apparently young people do. I was saying,
really?
Do you care? Do you care that this company is spending money advertising to you, or would you rather have advertising to you about the good that they do in some social realm or some position they take, or would you rather just have them sell you the best product at the lowest price?
This is a good idea. We should do a commercial for Timcast mm-hmm. and have it not in any way tell anything about the show.
Timcast. We were kind of talking about that last night.
Let's do it.
But yeah, for sure. We should.
Let's do an overly woke commercial for Timcast and we'll put it on Tucker.
1,000,000
I keep saying that. The problem is, like, we need managerial power to get these things done. Like, we want to do the Chicken City one. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do our pillow, and it's never happened. That's why I don't like talking about things unless we're like in the pipeline to do it. But projects fall apart. But let's do it.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live skit about that, about the woke commercials? And they were giving the awards for – I was shocked Saturday Night Live did this. It's very funny. The most woke commercials. Yes, you got to look that up. It's very funny. That's the most shocking part. Yes. Find it.
I will, yeah. I can't believe SNL did something funny. Like, that's insane.
I don't believe it's funny.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, if you haven't already, would you kindly smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends if you really like it, because it's the best way to help the channel grow. We're going to read your super chats. We got a bunch of super chats here talking about a bunch of crazy stuff, so get your super chats in while you still can. Andre Tukulescu says, F. Castro Jr., heartfelt, every Canadian. Oh, man. Srenik says, since they insist on putting every shooting that suits their agenda on national news, you should have your journalists start reporting on every story they can find of firearms being used to save lives. That's a good idea, actually. We should, create like the list of defensive shooting stories.
Yeah, so
there is a list.
Yeah, there was one just down the road from us here in West Virginia a little while ago. A lady took on a guy who was about to shoot up a graduation party, I think, and she took him out. She was a concealed handgun carrier, or a handgun carrier, I think. I'm not sure if it's concealed or not, but yeah, it was great news. No one covered it.
But don't you know that under the new law system that guy, the psycho, wouldn't have had the gun? Duh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, criminals wouldn't have the guns. Yeah.
They just won't have them. Yeah, no, they'll just all disappear. I was looking up this list, and my brain is just so tanked right now that I Googled defensive self-defense. I was like, wait, instead of, gun self, but I saw a list a while ago. It's kind of a hazy memory, but even so, I think it would be good for you guys to report on the individual stories, have journalists reach out to the people, talk to them about it.
I think people probably make running lists of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
All right. Anthony Roman says, hey, Tim, I saw one of your billboards in Chicago on my way to the Cubs versus Sox game on Saturday. Here is to keeping up the good work. Awesome.
Sweet.
Glad to hear it. I have no idea if it's having an impact because it's traditional, but the idea with traditional ads is just to occupy the establishment spaces. There's something interesting about millennials. They put Gen Xers and boomers on pedestals. They view these traditional elements of civilization as beyond them. It's a weird thing. I wonder why that is. Why is it that people get prominent on YouTube and then view themselves as not making it? Like, if you go to these events, I've been to a lot of these, there's constantly a conversation about how we are taking over. Like, we are big. It's like you're saying it as though you don't really think you are.
Right.
And so you get these people who have millions of followers, you get hundreds of thousands of views, and they're constantly trying to justify to everybody that they actually are big shows. And I'm like, you just keep doing your thing, man. Mm-hmm. But I think about it in terms of politics. Why Nancy Pelosi is still in off, like still 8 years old, Dianne Feinstein, all these, Joe Biden. For some reason, few millennials are engaging at the highest level of the stuff. They don't own stuff. They have a disproportionately low amount of wealth relative to previous generations at their same age. They're not engaging in high level politics the way the previous generations were. They're just stunted, I suppose.
They're spending all their time, I just think, all the stuff there is to do online. I mean, you guys, maybe you're too young to remember a time that wasn't like that. I wonder about how much effort is goes into internal stuff online that used to go into inventing things and creating things and thinking about new things,
Starting a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Mark H. says, Ian, if you hear this knock twice, we want to help you. What was that?
Stop it!
I was about to knock. And then I saw you move your hand down and I was like, oh.
I beat you to it.
Tattered Shield says, hey Tim, I'm an electrician looking to move to West Virginia. Got any idea of where the best to move out there? I don't know.
I need an electrician in Virginia. A good electrician.
There you go.
Northern Virginia.
Yeah. You know, we chose this area. It's the tri-state because it's close enough to the big city and the airports. So we could be kind of far away. But we're moving further west into West Virginia, so that's being all being built right now. L. Bossert says, if Chuck and Nancy ban body armor, that will turn every parent who just bought a bulletproof backpack into a felon. Why, are they talking about doing that? Is that what's happening?
Didn't they say something in New York City about banning? Yeah, that's the only...
That is,
there's a Supreme Court case going on.
Protecting yourself is forbidden.
Really? Yeah.
They also want to take the certain body armor away from police and say you can't, if it's in the military, you can't refurbish it or give it to the police.
That's nuts. Yes. What's the point? I don't get it.
Wow. YWBSPQR says, this Memorial Day, I'd like to also honor those that lost their lives to experimental procedures, corrupt leadership, toxic exposure, stock portfolios, and suicide. Never forget. Yeah, there's a lot of really bad stuff throughout history, man. Seriously, JK says, Seamus, membership sign-up doesn't work properly for your information.
What? Okay, so we've definitely gotten some sign-ups, but I can talk to the web dev people. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry that it didn't work for you.
It's troubleshooting phase.
Yes, we will. Yes, we are definitely in the troubleshooting phase. That's but exciting. If anyone else is having that problem, please let me know.
Give your home number.
I'll leave a comment below the video, and y'all let me know if you're having problems with that.
Substance says, bruh, they got a lot of grizzly bears and a lot of polar bears in Canada, and he just took people's most easiest form of defense away from them. I don't think polar bears are an issue for Canadians.
I think way up
super north.
Yeah, but there's like no one up there.
Moose?
Well, moose are a bigger problem.
They're up there working in the syrup mines.
Yeah, that's true.
People don't realize that up in the far north of Canada, in the syrup mines, it's frozen, and they have to use a pickaxe to chip it away. And when they bring it down south where it gets warmer, it naturally just melts into syrup.
Well, like sometimes they actually chip out frozen cavemen who come back to life and try to kill them.
Do you know what maple syrup is made from?
Half maple, half syrup, right?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Dinosaurs. For the record, there are no penguins in the North Pole. If you ever see. They're in the South Pole.
That's right.
I went to Antarctica and I learned that fact. So if you ever see them, any Christmas things with penguins in the North Pole, fake news.
And also they're in South America. They're not just in Antarctica.
Yeah, they're in the south. Yeah.
So,
Patagonia.
You know, you'll
Patagonia,
see,
yeah.
Yeah, you'll see like trees and stuff with penguins, and people don't realize because they think penguins are only on ice or whatever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. For the record, maple syrup comes from maple trees, but I think you all knew that.
Is that?
You're going to
you
get
sure? I'm
a warning.
Yeah. Maple syrup in the grocery store only has sugar in it.
Yeah, it's not the same.
And color, caramel color.
It's not true.
Is it even sugar, or is it just corn syrup? Or is it even syrup? Or is it corn syrup with like dye?
Corn syrup with dye and stuff.
Yeah.
And sodium benzoate. But if you buy maple syrup, it's maple syrup. If you buy like
maple flavored syrup
or like breakfast syrup, they call it table syrup.
Table syrup.
That's so nasty.
It is syrup. It's corn syrup.
Table
That's
syrup.
Crazy.
Tastes so good.
I heard that when the colonists came,
I do agave.
The Native Americans saw squirrels licking trees, and so they were like, "All right," and they cut it open and got the maple syrup out, and then showed the.
My goodness, did they try eating acorns too? Right. You see a squirrel lick something, and you're like, "Well, I have to try it."
How we discovered it? You know, you can eat maple seeds.
Maple seeds.
Yeah, we call them helicopters in Chicago.
But then it grows out of your stomach is the problem.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you turn into a tree.
Helicopter.
Yeah, those little things that maple seeds. Yeah,
what do they taste like?
I don't know, but I always noticed when I was a kid, you'd break them up and there'd be like a little nut, like a little seed.
Yeah.
And they roast them with like cinnamon and nutmeg.
Great.
I would just eat them raw, you know? Yeah. I'd pick them up off the ground.
It's crunchy. That's hungry. Not right,
you
Seamus.
Eat the helicopters?
He's dying.
All right, let's see what we got. Some more super chats. A lot of people are just yelling at Trudeau and saying words I can't repeat, but okay. Carter Chrysler says, Army just awarded SIG for contract on the new rifle chambered in 6.8. So the 5.56 might well soon be phased out of the military. Really? For 6.8? Why that? Why 6.8? Someone super chat and give us a good, robust explanation of why. Yeah. Archimedes says, Seamus, I just sent you an article. On top of the handgun ban, they are moving to shut down independent media. Finally.
Yeah, I'm so sick of those independent media people like lying us into war and spreading conspiracy theories about where Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
I switched. That's called the old bait and switch for anyone who wants comedy writing tips and tricks. That's
beautiful.
Well done.
Sir Lemongrab says, Tim and Cast, if the left and liberals made a rapture, Bioshock, like place, how long would it take to fail and collapse? 2 weeks. That's it, 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, how long did Chaz last? Remember when there was like an actual insurrection and left there took over several city blocks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, and there were sexual assaults and rapes and all sorts of violence. Yes.
All sorts of reasons that you need a gun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As a biological woman.
An actual one,
Says me. No, guns are an equalizer. It's an equalizer of force. I mean, yeah, you could arrest it on my hands, but I think it's sexist to try to take away from women.
It absolutely is.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Oliver Tractor says, ask Cheryl about FBI threatening her husband.
Oh. Yeah, so part of the FBI surveillance on the illegal surveillance that I'm suing them over now, in year X, whatever we're in now, part of what one of the sources who admitted being part of this operation to surveil me, there were multiple operations, not just me, other journalists were being surveilled, of course. But they acknowledged they were intending to plant child porn on my husband's computer.
Wow.
They say they knew we had a young daughter at home at the time. I mean, that blows your mind because that shows they understand.
How did you find that out?
One of the federal agents involved, you know, through our lawsuits who's spoken to us has talked about that they never accomplished that part because we discovered the operation before I guess it was closed down, that part of it.
Wow.
We have all the forensics showing what they did. There was no porn in the computer, but that was a discussed plan, according to this one federal agent. And I've mentioned recently when I've spoken of this that there's a current lawsuit totally unrelated to anything I'm talking about now, but where a former FBI agent has admitted that they planted porn, you know, on suspects' computers. So...
That is insane.
Anything's possible. It's really
and
scary.
And how did they get in? Did they actually like break into the person's house or with a virus or just...
I don't know in that case, but it's so easy for them. With me, they have remote entry to all my devices and computers. So they can operate your computer. This is years ago. It's even easier now. But they can come in through your Verizon system or your Fios line and operate remotely as if they're sitting in front of your computer.
So. Yeah, of course, right? The NSA can get into everything, basically. You can see all your messages.
As I was told, like butter. You know, it's not even hard for them, even if you have firewalls up and stuff.
Wow.
That's insane.
Wait, what story were you investigating that led to that?
Well, we don't know, you know. There were many stories. So Fast and Furious, they accessed that information and those files in my computer, and they accessed the CBS system, proprietary system during that time period. But I was working on a lot of other stories, too, about pharmaceutical industry. I was working on, you know, Republican corruption stories as well. But I think Fast and Furious was a big one. Then Benghazi. So there were at least two phases of the surveillance on me. I think they were watching a lot of Washington journalists at the time, and they probably still are. Why wouldn't they?
Wow. All right. Legamathagayan says, if Antifa and other domestic terrorist arms of the Democratic Party are just an idea and don't exist, yet Dems donate money to bail them out, then my Tavor 7308 is likewise a social construct that doesn't exist, and I get to spend money on feeding it lead.
Love it. There you go. Exactly. There's your way out.
There you go.
Good luck.
Ethan's threat, it was just an idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. Right.
Yeah. Doesn't exist. Philosophical concepts.
It's in Minecraft.
Mini Strange Quark says Shamrock Seamus Shamrock, you just got a $10 sub on Freedom Tunes.
I love you.
I support crazy peanut leprechaun peanut tune makers. Is that a peanut?
It's a potato.
Oh, it's a potato. What's that?
Woo! I love Irish? You. I don't love the racism,
Very
but thank you for the money. Much appreciated. No, I really appreciate that. We're trying to really get this running well. So if you guys experience anything, I know one person mentioned they had trouble signing up. Just DM me on Twitter at Seamus_Coughlin, which is super easy to spell. I'm sure it'll be linked in the description below.
That's right. Whenever, it is indeed.
Thank you so much for your support.
By the way, potatoes are indigenous to North and South America.
It's true.
So
You're
so
welcome.
You can't even use that. Whoever this kind subscriber, get a new icon.
Whenever I get Seamus something, I'll be like, "Hey Seamus, I got you something."
This is true.
It's a potato, isn't it?
It's a potato thing. I'm like, "Tim, this is something racist again." He's like, "No, bro, I really got you something cool." I'm like, "It's gonna be racist."
And then why is it? Is it because I got you a potato once?
It's because. Once?
So many
every
times.
Time,
so many
every
times.
Time you got me something except like two times, it was a potato.
No, that's not true. So I found this rare coin from like...
Oh, that is true. Two times. No, that's so two times.
What are you talking about? I got you an iTunes gift card.
That's true. But that's two times, right? The iTunes gift card, and which, by the way, very nice gift. And also, the potatoes are nice. Like, I don't turn that down. I'm not,
of course not.
It's not like he gives me the potatoes.
That's
I'm
good
like,
food.
I'm like, this is an insult to my people. I'm like, how can you do something like this?
We went to a collector shop, and they had a coin that is the it's from the time of Jesus Christ. And they believe it may have been the coin used by St. Casper. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I got to get this for Seamus. And so I didn't want to tell him what it was because I was like, it's really cool. And Seamus was convinced it was a potato. And I'm like, it's not a potato. I was like, it's two potatoes.
Potato related.
It's two potatoes.
That's right. That's what I said. And then Tim's like, no, it's really good. And then I said,
and so
three.
What I did was
mashed potato.
When he showed up.
French fries.
Instead of handing him the coin right away, I pulled out a packet of potato paper.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's sheets of potato starch that we got for a gag.
Joke's on you. They were delicious.
I'm sure they were.
Gross. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Seriously, JK says, first they take your speech, then freeze your money, then they take your guns. Slowly dismantle your freedoms via fear, threatening the financial stability of your family while increasing the reliance upon the government. So I went to the movies. I noticed nobody was there. It was kind of crazy.
What time did you go?
It was late at night.
Really?
Yeah, it was like we saw an 8 o'clock showing.
Like yesterday?
Was it Saturday?
Yeah,
it was Saturday night.
We went Saturday too. Saturday night as well.
I went Saturday night also, and it was they didn't pay me to say this, but it's called the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema.
Yeah.
It's like a chain now.
Yeah,
they
super woke.
You can get dinner. Oh, I didn't see any of that. So if they are, then that's annoying. But I didn't see any of that.
I don't know.
It's it's like dinner. You order, you can get drinks, and it was packed. We watched the new Top Gun.
We went there and it was super empty, which was really weird to me. I'm like, where are the humans? Like, the buildings were all short staffed. The theater removed all of like the arcade machines. When we were sitting down waiting for the movie to start, the commercial for the movie subscription thing comes on, and it's like $21 a month. It was like $14. Yeah, unlimited movies. Just show up. And I'm like, there's nobody here. So are there people who are really like, you know, I'm going to just spend $14 a month?
No.
And I thought it was weird that everything is going subscription.
It was like $20-something a month, right?
Yeah, it was $21, wasn't it?
And so for it to really be worth it, I mean, for it to really pay for itself, you'd have to go to the movie three times. Yeah, 3 weekends out of your month.
That's not the issue. The issue is everything is becoming subscription.
Yeah.
And that's all I said, right? So I tweeted, you know, has everyone noticed like everything's basically subscription these days? And then I get all these people being like, what do you mean? what's your point? And I'm like, that people are embracing subscription. I don't
know. Go to members@timcast.com and subscribe. By the way, guys, go to freedomtunes.com. Become a member, please. I'm serious.
But
we need your help.
People were like, you have subscriptions on your website. What do you mean? And I was just like, I didn't say it was bad.
It's
a
trend.
I just said it's kind of crazy like that. I said people are getting used to the idea of simple deductions in exchange for just freely available services.
Okay, you brought up my theory now. This is why young people are not going to have wealth.
Right.
You watch what they spend. You know what bark boxes are? They advertise to get a new box of toys and treats for your dogs every
year. Oh. And then there's Birchbox, which is like, I think, like perfume and accessories.
There's candy. And you see young people, I'm like, you don't have that kind of money. Like, you should be saving your money for your old age.
But actually, what you're neglecting is that there are a handful of millennials who will get really rich selling that stuff.
Yes.
I got an idea. True. Hear me out. We go to a bunch of different chain restaurants. Popular ones, Chipotle, Panda Express, whatever. And then we create a membership program where for $50 a month, you get unlimited access to all of these places.
How do you provide it?
Provide what?
How do you provide the access to those places?
Well, he doesn't. It's a scam. That's when we make the money. Oh.
I go to the business and say, you know, track and log every person who comes in, and then we pay you a rate based on total usage.
Do it.
And then what happens is you get a membership card and you don't got to worry about paying Olive Garden or whatever. You show up. And think about how easy. And we do the same thing with groceries. You will just deduct the money on the first of every month automatically. And everything is just provided to you. If you fix your car, you just drive to the mechanic. You don't got to worry about paying any money. If you want to get food, you go to the store. And then here's the best part. Eventually, when we go belly up because it's an unsustainable business model, we get subsidized by the government because we're too big to fail. The government buys up the program, and now everyone
excellent.
Is
rich.
I thought this ended up with like someone getting put against the wall for opposing the regime.
I
thought we were doing like communism analogy.
It was, but I mean that's like 10 years down the line.
Yeah.
What movie did you see?
What did we see? Oh, Firestarter.
Oh, was it good?
Although now I regret it. Now I'm like, I want to see Maverick.
Is that a remake?
It's a Stephen King novel. I think they remade it.
Maverick, oh my God, and I'm not easy to please on the movies.
Everybody loved it.
The
it
best.
Was amazing.
But I don't want to say that because then if so you go good. Expecting really? Too much. Yes.
I just, I the reason I didn't see it is because I was like, 60-year-old man tries to school no. young pilots, and I was like.
And he does, baby. He does.
Oh, oh that was all right. Is that all right.
Okay. I see.
Look,
I, see.
I like never go to the movies anymore. Do you guys go to, I mean, is it, is
we
it
went on Saturday.
Even before COVID? No, I know, but that was
and
the first time
everybody here, everybody in the room except you went to a movie this weekend.
You know what they're doing now at movie theaters? Because no one's showing up.
It's because you're Irish.
Because I don't have friends.
You're poor.
Actually.
You're well, poor Irish.
It's because I'm insufferable.
Oh, okay.
Movie theaters are now.
I'm Irish too.
Movie theaters are not just playing any movie. You'll look and you'll see like movies from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're also allowing screen rentals for video games
and oh, birthday weird. Parties.
They. I cool. think we should do the video game thing. Like we should.
That's cool.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, and we should play. What game should we play?
I could just beat you at Smash Bros. On
well,
a large screen.
I think, Tim, kind of what you might be getting at least thinking about the subscription, a lot of it is like it's surrendering power through suggestion and then also default. Like if your life is getting more and more on autopilot and suggestion and default, you are surrendering more and more of your decision making, which
you
know is for convenience. A lot of people do, but
I mean, well, I got to be honest. If legit, if there was a service where it was like $100 a month, and you had unlimited access to a variety of cars parked all over the place, I totally would get it.
There like, is one actually. I think it's called
Zipcar.
No, it's like called something True Bowl, or I'll look it up. But and it's like nicer cars. It's like you really? Can get luxury cars. Yeah,
you can. Like,
someone was a friend of mine was saying.
So then
you get in a Cadillac and there's a body in the trunk. You're like, okay, maybe I should have Ubered.
The problem with a lot of the car sharing, and I could be wrong about this, where it is
Turo, Turo, T U R O.
Turo is yeah. Turo is car
like
rental.
Yeah.
Okay,
what
isn't
I mean
that what
is,
you're saying?
What I mean is, like, you're walking down the street, and you're like
scooters around town, you can just
like
pick
the scooters,
one up
exactly, and exactly. So the scooters all over the cities, I'm sure most people have seen them. You walk up, you're in DC. I love the scooters; they're awesome. People got to be more responsible with them, but you walk up to the scooter, you scan it with your phone, and then you just ride. If they did cars that way, like you walk up, there's a car, and you go, "All right, this one's good."
Dude, like parking, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and then you just take the car. I'd totally do it, and then it just like it's very much like they used to have Zip cars. I don't know what they still call them, but
they still
was,
have them.
But they're few and far between. I suppose you get the app, you look them up. I love that idea, you know. So I'm like, hey man, you know, like I can't stand driving my car into the city,
especially in the city. Yeah,
yeah, it's just it's annoying,
stressful.
Yeah, out in the country, driving is fun.
Be like me, don't have a car. I haven't owned a car since 2011.
All right, John King says, Terrell Lawson Raymer, San Diego County Supervisor and World Bank Economist, put out a hilarious list of myths on her website. Sunlight for disinfectant, please. SOS. What was it about?
Who is this that put this up?
Tara Lawson Raymer. Disco Spinach says, I thought Seamus was going to apologize for being back at the top of the show. I demand an apology for having to deal with him again. JK, glad you're back.
Thank you. Well, look, I will apologize for nothing. I was working hard getting this website launched for you because I love you. And you're going to super chat Tim, and you're not going to subscribe to my website that I built for you, literally for you. What's his name? What's his name again? Could you read the name again off the super chat? I built it for you to go to freedomtunes.com. And for $5 a month, that's not that. $5 a month, you're going to get extra cartoons. You're going to get extra cartoons. There's a bunch of stuff up there now. You'll be supporting independent content. You're going to love it. You're going to be very glad
for $5 a month, I get your cartoons?
You don't like own them, but you get to watch extra cartoons.
Ah, you
too.
Got me.
Yeah, exactly. I knew what you were trying to do there.
Give away all your property.
Can't pull
IP.
The wool over my eyes.
All right. Bringer of D says, nothing makes me feel more Canadian than following all the rules only to get punished anyway by targeted crime prevention initiatives. Here's $100 for the crew. Give a big F Trudeau for me. And here's a plug for the CCFR, NFA, and CSSA, Canada's gun rights orgs. Right on. NFA. Well, the NFA is the National Firearms Act in the United States, and that one's a bad one.
NFAC is very different.
All right. Polly Author says, I've created a website that allows people to enter in one word at a time. Articles are temporary for now, but will eventually be saved to a database. It's open for public testing at polyauthor.com. YouTube doesn't allow messages that sound like .com. Do you want to pull that up and see if it works?
Absolutely. Do it with my computer? The link that we've never been to before?
Yeah.
I'm going to just pull it up on my PC, see if it works?
What?
I got a website I'm trying to launch here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to crash my computer.
Seamus is scared.
What if I get a virus? What if he's phishing? What if I get a virus, Tim?
Use your phone.
That's great. Yeah. Won't get a virus on my phone.
That's right. Wait,
you're using
being cautious. What was this?
www.patriottruth.wordpress.blogspot.info.
.info.
That's the name of my new social media site, by the way. I know that I was plugging the Freedom Tunes website. I have a new social media company I've just started called patriottruthtelling.wordpress.blogspot.truth.net.
Info.
So,
all right.
It's a catchy name, and we're hoping.
Wait, actually, speaking of that, are you guys on Truth Social?
No.
I just joined. Well, I was on the waiting list for like 2 months, and I just got off it. And it's not as good right now as Getter. Getter has a lot more features. You can go live. Well,
you know what's way better? Hold on. You know what's way better, though?
I have hopes for it, though. I like Trump, so I hope he gets good people to help him build it.
Well, I have something. I know it's a better website. It's called freedomtunes.com. And if you go there for $5 a month, you'll get an extra cartoon every week. There are five cartoons up there now. There's behind the scenes stuff. You're going to see footage of Tim and I improvising videos. You're going to see time lapses with commentaries about the videos. You're going to love it. It's an extra cartoon every single week.
All right. Rorschach's No says, hi, Cheryl. Considering the founding documents of our country, such as the Magna Carta, a woman's Bill of Rights isn't that unusual. The sentiments behind the Constitution was due to people of duty and responsibility wasn't understanding the notice.
That's to Carrie.
Yeah.
Carol, Sherry, Carol.
We're interchangeable.
Cheryl.
So the question is...
Well, it's a statement.
It's a statement, yeah. No, womensbillofrights.com. Please go there. And you can put your name on there. I know a lot of people have their usernames. This is... You know, if you want to put your real name out there, say that you support women, biological women, and we're introducing this. We've already introduced it on Capitol Hill, and we're going to take it to a state near you, too. I know we'll be more successful in certain states than others. I'm already talking to people from a couple states with their governors who are very interested in this. So it's really pathetic that this has to be happening now. It's like a cavemen, or, you know, tribal, Tarzan. Bedouin tribal societies. They knew what a woman was, but we don't. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like we can put someone on the moon, but we can't define a woman.
All right.
He said one small step for... What's a man?
Personhood.
Personhood? Yeah, exactly.
But it has for the word people. Sun in it, so I'm sorry. Personhood.
All right, let's read some more. We got Dank. He says, hi, Tim. I recently graduated from uni with a BA in comms, and I want to work for you. I'm a TV producer, engineer with 2.5 years of experience, 6 years of video editing experience, 6 years of voice acting experience, I play 3 instruments. I'm fluent in Russian. Dank. Send an email to timp@timcast.com.
Which instruments?
Which instruments?
Yeah.
I play violin, piano, and oboe.
I play the guitar, the acoustic guitar, the acoustic electric guitar, and the bass.
Drums.
Piano, clarinet.
I play the synth, the drum machine.
Zither.
The
triangle.
That's what the zither is. Lydia knows.
I actually do play the drums, and actually I play guitar, bass, and drums. But guitar and bass, it's like if you can play guitar, you can play bass. I mean, not necessarily if you can like slap and stuff. That's different skill set from strumming. But, you know, yeah. Rommel.
That's really offensive to bassists, by the way. You're probably going to get in trouble for that.
Well, like a real bass player, they can legit play the bass. But someone who plays guitar can play the bass. Just doesn't mean you're not going to be good at it, right? You'll be good enough at it.
Because, like, anyone can play a bass but not be good at it, right? Like, anyone can play any instrument really badly.
No, I mean,
badly.
Like, if you can play the guitar, you can pick up the bass and play bass for your band. Hmm. But you want a real bass player who's, like, got you know, good writing skills.
True.
Rommel says, I'm an engineer for Sig Sauer. The Army wanted a projectile and rifle that is capable of penetrating body armor at long ranges. The advancement in level 4 armpit makes it much easier and lighter to use. Love y'all. Interesting. All right. Spiro Floropoulos says, so I've messaged about sources say online 3 times now. Any love for that? Same as that website, one word at a time. Well, right on. We'll have to check out sourcessay.online and see what it's all about. Sourcessay.online looks way better than polyauthor.com. Just saying. Oh, we got a fight happening. All right, we'll check it out. But if you haven't already, you got to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends. Head over to timcast.com and become a member. We're going to have that members only show coming up. It'll be published in just about an hour. And it's not family friendly. We swear a lot. It's the after dark show, not for your kids.
After hours. What do you mean we swear a lot, Tim? You swear a lot.
I do swear.
I'm perfectly well behaved on the
Seamus
after
swears
show.
So much.
So head over there, check it out. You can follow the show @TimCastIRL. Follow us on Instagram because we post clips throughout the day on Instagram. So at TimCastIRL, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TimCast. Cheryl, did you want to shout anything out?
CherylAtkison.com. Also, I'm giving out an independent journalism cash award.
Cool.
Called the ION Awards. I've already done it to journalism schools, but now to professional journalists for off-narrative reporting. If you know anybody, today's the last day, maybe tomorrow to enter. Go to CherylAtkison.com, read more. Because trying to encourage people to do reporting more the old-fashioned way like we used to.
So how many people, was it 20 people win the Pulitzer every year?
I don't even know. That's the print awards.
I think it's 20 people, and they get $15,000 each for a Pulitzer. So I've been talking with some people. We have a nonprofit for fact-checking, and I think we're going to start doing awards.
I think that's brilliant. I'm giving $3,000 to the students and $3,000 for the professional of my money, which to journalists, as a young journalist, that's a lot of money to me.
Big deal, yeah.
You know, that's nice. And I judge the Emmys every year. And
they still let you do that.
Yeah, there's some great.
Good for you.
There's some great entries every year from almost every news organization. They're just not always prominent stories.
But isn't it pay to play?
But it's as someone who's received quite a few Emmys myself. Not always.
I hope not.
But it's the same. It tends to be the same 10 stories over and over year after year, if you know what I mean. Like the same foreign stories with the same themes, even the same domestic stories by different reporters. And some of it's very good reporting, but it's very on the narrative. And if you do anything that's not these days off, if you do anything that's not on the narrative, you're not going to win any of those awards. So I'm trying to recognize some of those.
It needs to be, what we want to do is you don't need to apply for it. So that's like the Emmys. You apply for it, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
News organization or whatnot.
That feels fake to me, to be completely honest. You know, so having worked in corporate press, it's like now submit to us what you think is worthy, and you have to pay a fee.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have full time people, and that's their job is to apply for awards for the news outlets.
Right. Yeah. When I worked, they had people on staff, and it was like make sure you're submitting and paying the fees. And I'm like, so they make a bunch of money off the fees, and then give it to the person they think is better. It's like that's gambling to me. the only difference is like if you're not in the club, you don't win.
And it's never retracted, like all those Pulitzers who went for all of the Russia hoax gate.
What we're going to do is one day, you as an independent journalist or reporter will get an email saying, we've selected you as the winner. You needed nothing to do. We just thought you did a good job, and we want you to keep doing it. So the one thing we're waiting on right now is all the paperwork's filed. We're just waiting for filing status to, like, be formalized. We filed a while ago.
Love it.
That's great.
There are a lot of people who are interested in helping fund the project, and I'm just like, cool. We will see a journalist who's on the ground, and we're going to have an award ceremony, and we'll explain why we chose this person. And we'll probably end up picking people who won't like us. They're going to be like, I'm not coming. But we thought you did a good job, so you deserve it. But, anyway. Carrie, did you want to shout anything out?
Oh, yeah. Women'sBillOfRights.com. And then I also started a Substack, and it's CarrieSheffield.substack.com.
Very cool.
I don't really have anything to promote.
No? All right.
I'm sorry. No, if you guys want to go over to my YouTube channel, Freedom Tunes, we make cartoons. I think you guys will enjoy them. We also have a website we just launched, freedomtunes.com. If you subscribe and become a member, $5 a month, you'll get extra cartoons. You'll also be supporting independent content that goes against what the establishment wants you to believe.
Very cool. I might have to go check out what's going on this crazy weird new website that James keeps pushing for some reason. You guys may follow me on Twitter and minds.com at sourpatchlets as well as sourpatchlets.me.
We will see all of you over at timcast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.